And so I see that he's popping in here right now. I'll bring him up as a co-host.
How you doing today?
Wolf, I'm all the better because we've got a wonderful guest speaker and we've got yourself in here to help run the ship. And for anybody that's not currently following Wolf, I can't imagine there are a lot, but he's actually not just one of the ongoing, I guess you'd call it, you're kind of the president, El Presidente of JQ Radio, also one of the founders, if not the founding force behind it, and is running that with Uncensored and Colin. So for anybody that's not following him, certainly a great account to follow, puts in a massive amount of time and attention into not just the JQ, but Wolf, maybe as the opportunity to give a bit of background for anybody that's less familiar with your content. I feel like the JQ is just one of the many aspects that play into your essential pursuit of a better tomorrow. You talk a lot about financial wellness, about kind of emotional and physical wellness. Do you want to give everybody kind of just an overview of some of the things that you focus on, and then we'll go to Mr. Pastor?
Oh, bro, it's a spiritual enlightening, right? So where we can all agree on is we're all stuck in a spiritual and psychological warfare. And that's what really was driving me to do the JQ Radio, right? We decided one morning, I had the space running 2 days, and we were like, you know what, we should do this more often. People seem to like it. And so we started JQ Radio. But the main cause to be driven to do this on a daily basis, so I'm not really much of, like, I don't create my own content and make, like, videos go viral or anything like that, because I spend so much time in spaces with like-minded individuals like Ian and many, many, many other people who come up as speakers to just, you know, have some really nice intellectual high IQ conversations about the problems that everybody's facing in their daily lives and the problems that we're having in the world, right? So I see it as a spiritual awakening, and it's honestly something I'm very passionate about, because we only live one life, right? And every hour and every minute and every second goes by very fast. So make the best out of it. And if I can spread awareness and become a truth seeker and a truth teller, right? Like truth teller, but he's obviously a supercomputer. Can't compare myself to him. But if I can live a life and spread the light on the darkness a little bit, I'm passionate about it, right? And so yeah, that's it. I mean, just super, super passionate about the spiritual warfare that we're all facing, and I'm driven by passion, right? I'm not making money on here, like, where I can not work, or it's not, you know, we make nothing on here. It's just pure passion, and I think that's what we need more in our circles and on X, is people who are passionate about these things, right? And who are actually doing this from a stand of, you know, they're doing this with a pure heart, right? So it's all pure. It's no fake and gay stuff. And that's what's important. But yeah, that's where I stand, brother. You know me. Keeping it real as much as I can.
Well, and that's the thing. I feel like if anybody keeps it real, Wolf, you're certainly one that does. And I feel like, especially with the vocal intonation, I know it's not identical, but essentially like the Schwarzenegger of the JQ spaces out here, not perhaps Austrian, but have a similar little vocal variety there, and you know, you're very much like Arnold in that you speak truth, you call it like it is, and I'm referring to the OG Arnold, for what it's worth, pre-political run and his entanglement with, I guess, the machine. But you know, back in the day, Arnold was just a strong, charismatic individual who was, you know, strong-willed, strong mind, strong bodied, etc. And those are some of the things I see you focusing on. And so I'm just always humbled to be a part of your conversations, to have you here. And I think this is going to go into some of that, because this is really about, you know, having that strong will through some kind of convictions that have to be grounded in something more than oneself. And so I know there's a couple of topics that that Mr. Band Pastor was interested in discussing. Band, some of the things that I threw out there was the, you know, spiritual state of the state. If we were to give a state of the union of the religiosity of the American world, and basically how you see it, where you see it going, and how we can maybe bring a more convicted, spirituality to the masses. 'Cause if we're going to reject the insanity that is kind of the woke modernity, I feel like it has to be rooted in something bigger than ourselves, right? Bigger than materialism, than vanity, than hedonism, et cetera. And so prior to maybe unpacking those things, do you want to give a bit of background on yourself, some of your work? And I had kind of teed you up describing you as the most censored person on the net when it comes to your religious bends here. So if you wouldn't mind maybe introducing yourself for anybody that is less familiar with your work.
Yeah, just can you hear me loud and clear? I just want to make sure.
Yep, sure can.
Great. Thanks again for having me on A Space. And I love talking about all kinds of things. Of course, my faith. I also like talking about the JQ. And I even have some material with me if we want to get into that discussion, if we want to talk a little bit about that topic. But a little bit about myself again. I do pastor a church in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. It's in Cedar Hill, Texas. It's Steadfast Baptist Church. And our church has actually had to move multiple times because of being evicted, being sued, being protested, all kinds of different crazy things. I've specifically been banned on all kinds of stuff. I lost our Bank of America accounts. I lost Chase accounts. I lost Wells Fargo accounts. Of course, easy stuff like PayPal, MailChimp, Airbnb, pretty much just anything and everything. Then eventually they actually banned me on all credit card processing. So I can't do any credit card processing. Of course, lost YouTube channel so many different times to the point where I just stopped even trying. This is probably my 7th or 8th Twitter account. I'm a known terrorist on Facebook. I actually tried to upload a video from our Rumble on Facebook just before we got in the space, and they said it was spam and they wouldn't even let me upload a video. Additionally, just kind of even on Rumble, which I love Rumble and I'm very pro Rumble, but I have had videos taken off of Rumble. I've lost Facebook live streams. I even have our Baptist, we have a Baptist bias show that we do, and I'm trying to simulcast on that right now on Rumble, for our audience so they can listen to the space right now. I also have lost videos on Rumble. So we've uploaded our documentary, The Sodomite Deception, and, it got taken down. We've made documentaries on called LGBT Terrorists, and I've made some more friendly to the mainstream documentaries, one called The Preserved Bible. You can just go to the website, preservedbible.com, and it explains where the Bible came from and specifically why I use the King James Bible only. And I think it's the ultimate truth. You know, we talk about restoring faith in a broken America. It's going to begin and end with the King James Bible. It's the Word of God, and that's what's going to actually restore faith. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So people need to put their faith in what the Bible says, not faith in a politician, not faith in a political movement, not faith in a particular individual, not faith in a platform, but rather faith in the Word of God, which is the Scripture. And of course, I come to everything with a Baptist bias, but I love talking to people from all over with different viewpoints, backgrounds, and I'm just trying to get you converted to a Baptist, you know? So that's a little bit about myself. Of course, hopefully that kind of gets into our topic a little bit. Let me know if there's something you want to kind of dive into first here, Ian, and again, appreciate being on the space.
Oh, of course, my friend. And just in terms, because there was an emphasis there, the King James Bible, right? We hear a lot about the Scofield Bible, the perversion of various texts, Vatican II, all these kind of things. Could you give a maybe just an orientation? You know, what is it that helped you land on the King James edition? What is it? Is it in the text itself, the way that it's preserved? What about that would you kind of use to defend that position that that is the de facto must go to that text rather than any of the other alternatives that are out there?
Yeah, great question. And of course, I would point to our documentary if you want a long answer to this, preservedbible.com. But, you know, when you bring up the Scofield Reference Bible, I want to make it clear that there's nothing about the King James that's wrong. It's simply that's somebody adding their notes and adding in a bunch of trash to the Bible itself, especially at that time. Pretty much everybody was using the King James Bible because it was the only Bible. You have a famous quote from Ronald Reagan talking about as pious drudges try to get it right, it will not dawn on them that it has been gotten right. So even Ronald Reagan realized that the King James Bible is the Word of God. And it's only in the last maybe 50, 60 years where you've seen a dramatic shift in Bible translations that are have drifted away from what the King James Bible's heritage is. The King James Bible is based on the Textus Receptus, which just simply means the Bible's passed down and used by Christians. If you understand kind of a little bit about the history, in the 1500s, 1600s, you see a reformation from the Catholic Church, and they're realizing that the Catholic Church was not really trustworthy. They had corrupted the scriptures, and so there was a big movement to get an accurate translation of the Bible. This was spurred by all kinds of different individuals, Desiderius Erasmus. Of course, that's where you get the Martin Luther translation into German. Then you have a man by William Tyndale who brings that into English. And then from that is where you get the handful of other English translations that leads to the final translation, the King James Bible. They even say in the Translators to the Reader that it is to be one more exact translation of the Holy Scriptures into the English tongue. That's a quote from the translators in their preface. And really, it is done. Of course, the English language is always going to make minor adjustments and shift a little bit. But considering its global power, the fact that so many people are using it, it's not going to shift very much. And I still believe the King James Bible is very understandable, but it's also accurate. Other translations today do not use the same heritage. They have gone from an eclectic text. And so if you look at all the other languages, or I'm sorry, all the other translations of the English Bible, you'll notice they take verses out, they change the phrases, they say completely different things, they contradict themselves, and I believe that their fruit is evident that it's not causing a great revival in America. We see modern churches today doing all kinds of crazy things, being like a circus, literally, all kinds of sin and wickedness and insanity. People, of course, have become very Zionist and all kinds of stuff. Just Pentecostalism has become crazy. And we see just the fruit of the modern versions is destroying America. It's destroying Christianity. There's no respect for it anymore. Whereas the King James Bible is the only hope for America to return to sanity, to normalcy, to conservatism, to things that actually our country was built and founded upon. America is the greatest nation in the world because of the Bible and because of the heritage of the Word of God. And because we literally put it into our laws, we put it into our country. States, many of them required and mandated for the government to profess faith in Jesus Christ. Our laws were coming from directly from Leviticus, Exodus, Deuteronomy. And that's what made America such an amazing country is the desire for people to actually follow what the Word of God says. And it's only since we've really gone away from the Word of God, tried to undo all kinds of laws, like in 2015, where Obama is undoing, you know, marriage and basically allowing same-sex marriage, which is just a culmination of many different things. That's just one to point to. But we see just the degradation of society. And of course, there's a specific group that hates the Bible, that wear tiny hats, and they want to essentially just destroy our country. And, you know, the attacks on whites, the attacks on men, the attacks that we see on conservatives, it's really just thinly veiled attacks on the founding principles of Christianity. That's where those things are really coming from. And so, you know, this is a major battle. This is a major fight, and we need the Word of God. We need the Bible to reveal to us who is the real enemy out there, and what is the real solution?
Well, and what's so interesting about you saying that is, you know, people often, I feel like, they look at all these different aspects of modernity, whether it's mass migration, whether it's the culture wars, it's things as simple as gender being turned upside down. And I feel like a lot of people are lost and confused. But when you instead just look at it all as an amalgamation and you say, actually, I think that what they're fundamentally attacking is everything aligned with Christianity. It starts to make a lot of sense. All the things that are basically the inversions of gender, of what it means to be a man, a woman, of, I guess, even a moral compass, right? When you put it through that lens and you say, hey, this isn't actually an attack on, you know, American values necessarily. It's not an attack on democracy. It's not an attack on the free market. It's an attack on Christianity. All the rest of it kind of comes into better focus. Is that kind of your take on it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd like to just read a small portion from a book. It's called Behind Communism. It's written by Frank L. Britton. And I just want to read a little section here in page 12. It's just kind of at the early part of this. It's called The Evictions. So it's an eviction section. And this is what this book says. And I'm not going to read all of it, but I'm just going to read a little bit. It says, space does not permit a detailed discussion of other evictions which followed and which resulted in the banishment of the Jews from virtually every country in Western Europe in the succeeding centuries. But here, in chronological order, is a list of evictions. England, Jews expelled in 1290 by Edward I, not permitted to re-enter until 1655. France, expelled in 1306 by Philip the Fair. A few were permitted to return, but were again evicted in 1394. Jewish settlements remained in Bordeaux, Avignon, Marseille, from where they were evicted in 1682 in the northern province of Alsace. Saxony, they were expelled in 1349. Hungary, by 1092, the Jews were in control of Hungary's tax collections. In 1360, they were expelled but later returned in 1582. They were again expelled from the Christian part of Hungary. Belgium, expelled in 1370. A few settled there again in 1450, but no large numbers came until 1700. Slovakia, ousted from Prague in 1380. Many settled there again after 1562. In 1744, Marie Theresa expelled them again. Austria, expelled in 1420 by Albrecht V. Netherlands, expelled from Utrecht in 1444. Spain, expelled in 1492. Lithuania, expelled in 1495 by Grand Duke Alexander. Portugal, expelled in 1498. Prussia, expelled in 1510. Italy, expelled from Kingdom of Naples and Sardinia in 1540. Bavaria, banned permanently in 1551. Jews were not permitted to enter Sweden until 1782. None were permitted to enter into Denmark before the 17th century, and they were not allowed in Norway after 1814. Today, only a handful reside in all of Scandinavia. Now, I don't have time to read all of this, but you get a little bit of a context. You kind of have just all of these European nations that are Christian or Catholic, but essentially just some form of Christianity, and they're all expelling this one group until you kind of have the 1800s. You really see mainly a lot of this being pushed back with Napoleon, and Napoleon essentially allows for this specific group of Jews to re-enter Europe. A lot of laws start changing. Then you see a lot of them migrate into Russia, and you have a complete communist takeover of Russia. They migrate to China. You have a communist takeover of China. You see a lot of Europe being overthrown and the aristocracy is being destroyed. And then you kind of have the last bulwark of America, which now almost everybody in our country, as far as in a political position of power, is either handled by someone that's Jewish or is Jewish. And you kind of see this consistent theme of Christian nations being Christian while they expel the Jews. When they don't expel them, you see them being overthrown and Christianity being demolished. Europe is no longer Christian anymore. Europe is no longer great anymore. I mean, UK, Britain was the world's champion as far as the greatest nation in the world. Russia was also a major threat and a major player, completely overthrown and destroyed by communism. And now America is headed down a similar path where you kind of have to ask this question, what destination, what future do we really want? Do we want to, you know, have laws that are based on Christian principles and not allow people to triumph over Christianity? Or do we want to allow them to destroy Christianity and destroy our nation and bring us back into communism? And so if we want to restore faith in America, we have to realize that there is a real communist threat. There's a real communist history, and it's the word of God that keeps us from going down into that dark hole. I mean, the First Amendment and the Second Amendment are so, so important, and why we wouldn't be destroyed. When you can't say what you need to say, and when you can't defend what you need to say, well, then, you know, there really is no hope. You're going to go straight into communism. The Hungarian Revolution is a great thing to read about. The Bridget Andow is an incredible book. There's a lot more to say on this topic. I just wanted to kind of start out the conversation to understand, if we want to restore faith in a broken America, we have to ask ourselves, why is it broken? Where did it become broken? Why, like, what's causing the brokenness? So then you can address the restoration. And if you really want to understand the restoration, you kind of have to understand the parasite that's attached itself to the host, and recognize you have to get rid of parasites if you want to thrive and be successful. Of course, hosts, you know, think about it, they can survive while parasites are on them. But if the parasites get too big and too many, well, then they can destroy the host. And so I'm just trying to help identify that there's a real battle going on between good and evil, and it's those who are of God and love the Bible that are the righteous, and then you have those that hate the word of God and have a false religion, the religion of Judaism, which is of Satan. The Bible says that the synagogue of Satan, and these people are the true enemy of all righteousness. And so I am trying to be kind of blunt here, but I'll just kind of give you a little bit of a synopsis. And then, of course, we can explore more there, or if you want to push back, or if someone wants to ask a question, or we can talk more about solutions here.
No, I think you're spot on. And the way that you just walked through, I hope it's okay if I turn some of your words there into a little video clip at some point over the weekend, just because the way that you walked through the evolution of this very self-evident scenario where communism has gone from, like you said, and predating Russia, but that's where it really, you know, took hold, from Russia to China to Europe to America, and you're seeing this exact progression, and it's the same playbook over and over and over again. And it does feel like it's not just an economic one, it's not just a political one, it's not just about power, it is about unseating the moral fabric of those societies. And you know, in the West right now, in America, we're basically at the culmination of what feels like 3, 4, 5 generations worth of anti-Christian rhetoric, propaganda, programming, and that's come in all shapes and sizes. It's, you know, Sam Smith on Saturday Night Live singing a song called Unholy while wearing a red wedding dress with horns on his head, literally, all the way over to, you know, the desecration of the Christian faith, whether it's through upside down crucifix in a urinal in an art museum, or of course the documentaries and propaganda that was pushed out about, you know, Christian Catholic pedophiles and all this other kind of stuff.
Yeah, and you know, I want to read
right, and so I guess the question that I would have. Oh, go for it.
Sorry, you cut out on me, and then I interrupted. I want to bring in a couple other quotes just to kind of bring in that summary, because I think also the French Revolution is kind of where you see these things start. Napoleon is a hero to Jews. They even have their own song dedicated to singing about Napoleon, because he really gave them a lot of freedom in Europe. But there's a book a document called The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. And they have some really interesting quotes in this book. And it's coming from the idea of a small group of people that want to basically destroy and take over the world. But I want to just read a few different things here. This document has different quote protocols, and it says in protocol 1 and their section 11, it says, great national qualities like frankness and honesty are vices in politics, for they bring down rulers from their thrones more effectively and more certainly than the most powerful enemy. Such qualities must be the attributes of the kingdoms of the Goyim, but we must in no wise be guided by them. So a quote in here says that the politicians of the Jews will have no frankness or honesty, and that they are bad things. Additionally, in protocol number 2 in section 3, it says, do not suppose for a moment that these statements are empty words. Think carefully of the successes we arranged for. Darwinism, Marxism, Nietzscheism, to us Jews at any rate, it should be plain to see what disintegrating importance these directives have had upon the minds of the Goyim. In protocol number 3, section 7, it says, the aristocracy, which enjoyed by law the labor of the workers, was interested in seeing that the workers were well fed, healthy, and strong. We are interested in just the opposite, in the diminution, the killing out of the Goyim. Another protocol says in protocol 4, section 3, it's titled, we shall destroy God. It is indispensable for us to undermine all faith, to tear it out of the mind of the quote Goyim, the very principle of Godhead and the Spirit, and to put it in its place, arithmetical calculations and material needs. In number 4, it says, thus, all the nations will be swallowed up in the pursuit of gain, and in the race for it will not take note of their common foe. Now, those are just a few quotes, but you can see from a document like that, suggesting this idea that there's this group of God-hating, Satan-worshipping Judaism individuals, and that these individuals want to undermine all faith. They want to destroy every aristocracy, which is talking about having a king as essentially a monarch as their government, and mostly because they felt like the kings were much more difficult to overthrow because they maybe have guiding principles of faith, truth, honesty, loyalty, family. A lot of them were Christian, and they needed to get rid of them to bring in, quote, democracy and fairness. And they're always these social justice warriors. There's a famous clip that a lot of people shared of a young girl basically just taking credit for how the Jews have brought in virtually every ism, you know, socialism and Marxism and transgenderism and just essentially all of these different isms that are destroying and decaying our society. And they want to destroy faith in the Word of God, in the Bible, because that's what gives us purpose. And of course, they don't want us to be well fed. They want us to be eating junk. And, you know, we've seen some good moves from the most recent administration saying like, hey, we need to be healthy. We need prosperity in our nation. You know, I would say like good directives. We need to get rid of government incompetence, government overspending, get rid of DEI. I think these are all great principles. We have to ask this question, like, if we don't realize where these good principles are coming from the Bible and from the Word of God, then they'll inevitably fail. It sounds good, but we need to bring in the Word of God. And, you know, I'd love to see the government run more efficiently, but if they never give us any tax breaks, well, then I guess we're just going to shift more money to the people that are essentially the ones that are causing all the destruction of our nation. That's not going to help anything if we're giving more money to the people that are literally trying to destroy us and hate us and want to get rid of our faith. We need to give it back to the people that actually want to build our nation, that love America, that love the Constitution, that love the Word of God that built this great nation. And that is what's going to restore faith in our country, is when we're giving our assets and power, empowering those who actually love our country, not the people that hate it and use it and abuse it. So I appreciate you letting me give you those quotes. If we want to open it up for some discussion and everything, those are just some of the things that I wanted to share. There's a lot more I could share on this subject. In fact, maybe I'm kind of planning on doing a mini documentary at some point on the protocols of Zion, and basically just going through the French Revolution, going through Russia, showing lots of quotes from their documents and just showing how all of that's happening in the world today. I think just bringing more awareness is good. And frankly, I mean, I can't really be banned much more anyways. So I feel like I'm kind of one of those people that could make something like that. But, I know there's a lot of other warriors out there and people who are fighting. I'm just trying to give a face to, you know, the opposition of Satan. So. Appreciate you guys.
Well, and first and foremost, is the audio okay or no?
Your mic. Yeah.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I don't know when.
Now it's better.
Is this okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe you have a bad headphone. I don't know what you're using. A bad mic or a bad headphone. One or the other. I don't know what's going on.
Is that any better or no?
This sounds better.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Sorry about that, guys. No, what I was going to ask really quickly on that, I mean, you're walking through this, let's just say, predilection, right? There is this unusual pattern that we're seeing. I'm just kind of curious if, you know, do you believe, Ben, that this is a manifestation of a set of behavior that is downstream from let's call it indoctrination, and from this text and from a religious culture? Or do you think that there's some kind of genetic aspect that begot the culture and the text, which manifests itself through these behaviors? Because the pattern just becomes impossible to ignore. And then the question becomes, well, how do we keep coming back to it, right?
Well, I don't believe it's genetic at all. I'm not a believer in anything genetic having some kind of predisposition. I think it's more of an environmental factor personally, and I think it's more of a religious aspect. I mean, you see people like Ivanka Trump converting to Judaism. She's not genetically predisposed to that particular religion, and you kind of understand like the history of the Jews going all the way back to the this diaspora of 70 AD. Those people did not just isolate themselves, but rather integrated into society. Many of the people talk about the Khazarian Jews and the mixing of Europeans with Jews. And so I think that Judaism is a choice. It's a religion. It's something that people, of course, can be brought up in, but many people can also convert. And that particular religion teaches a love of money. It teaches a satanic agenda. And it's really just the devil using pawns of this world to fulfill his agenda, and is those who are the adherents of Judaism. You know, there's nothing stopping somebody from being born a Jew and converting to Christianity or making good decisions. But of course, when you're brought up in a satanic religion and you choose not to walk away from that, you're going to have certain principles that say, hey, power and wealth are the only things that matter. And it doesn't matter how you get them. It doesn't matter by which means you acquire them. You are a special group of people. Then everyone else is cattle. Everyone else is beneath you, and you can use whatever means you need to acquire more wealth and more power. Well, that's a really dangerous ideology for people that decide not to walk out of it. Christianity does not teach that. Christianity teaches that everybody is loved of God, and that we should treat them fairly and justly, and we should be righteous, and we should help our neighbor, not looking down at them as being an animal that we should take advantage of and rip off and manipulate to our own material gain. And so, you know, again, it's an ideological difference. It's a spiritual battle that's being raged, and many people are constantly joining themselves to this religion and leaving this religion over the course of generations. And so you can't say it's just a particular like DNA thing. It's about their ideological belief system and people adhering to this particular belief system. Just like Christianity is not comprised of a particular DNA, people of all races, internationality, you know, groups are believing in Christ and getting saved. And so God's not a respecter of persons. I'm not a respecter of person, but you have to also recognize if someone's born in a particular environment and they choose not to get out of it, well, they're going to probably be like that particular environment. And so, of course, being raised in Judaism, having parents and grandparents and uncles and going to the bar mitzvahs and going to the temple and doing these satanic rituals and stuff, even if someone walked away from the faith and they're not even a practicer of Judaism, all of that upbringing, all of that cultural influence is going to have a major impact on their worldview, who they are, the decisions that they make. Cause many people say like, oh, I know all these secular Jews. They don't practice. They're doing whatever. And, you know, what's wrong with these people? Yeah, but they were brought up with these same principles, ideals. Their family members have ingrained these mind viruses inside of them. And so it's not so much that they were ethnically doomed. It was, or their DNA had some kind of predisposition to be extra evil. It's that they had this evil environment that they were raised in. And if they don't make a decision to walk away from that or believe in Christ, then you're going to see a pattern. And I, you know, again, I don't want to be someone that denies reality. I don't want to sit here and say like, hey, you know, there's not this direct correlation to someone being ethnically Jewish and then having all these characteristics. But I want to make it clear it's not because of the ethnicity directly. It's just a tight coupling. It's a direct correlation because of their upbringing, because of their environment. And so you just see it on wide scale. Similar views that I have on everybody, whether this be people that are born in inner city Chicago to a black family, they're predisposed to a certain environment and many times act that way. People are going to be predisposed to their environment, whether they're born in Russia, Asia, China, North Korea. And of course, they're going to be very similar to that particular outcome of their environment. But we want to make sure to separate the environmental factors here and personal decision making, personal responsibility from someone's DNA. I do not believe that we are hardwired from our DNA to be bad or good. We make those decisions ourselves. And so I think everybody should take personal responsibility. But we also can't just sit here and ignore patterns. You know, that would be silly to sit here and just ignore the obvious things that are going on. And I think when we ignore patterns, it causes people to be more racist rather than recognizing it's an ideological battle more than a racial battle and trying to come up with a good solution, not Darwinism or Planned Parenthood or all these other solutions the Democrats came up with to just kill people because of their race.
No, that's really well stated. And what was wild is you were talking just a little while back about the video of the young woman walking through the isms and the connection back to this group of people. And if I'm not mistaken, I think that's MK, who we actually had on JQ Radio just yesterday, which was really interesting. You know, she's a younger individual, I believe somewhere in her early to mid 20s, is talking about these things on social media and getting quite the buzz, because there she is, this, you know, pretty young woman who, in this particular video that had millions and millions of impressions, she's just, I guess, baking a cake or something, is talking about the historical ties of some of these events that you're talking about. And I bring that up just because it does seem like there is I don't want to call it a resurgence, but it seems like there is a growing number of people that are in that younger generation that are looking around, and they're basically seeing the culture that has had most of its religious emphasis ripped out. And there's a lot of individuals that look at the byproducts of that, and they see the modernity through the working woman that is 45 years old, unmarried, doesn't have any kids. And it's like, well, that's not what I want for my future. And so we're seeing this younger generation that maybe starting to recognize something's wrong. They're starting, you know, the popularity of the things like the trad wife or of young men that are kind of setting out and saying, I'm going to buck the system and embrace kind of, you know, the Andrew Tate nonsense of the world, I certainly push aside. But there are those that look like they're starting to seek out something more. So I'm curious, when you look at just the landscape, you know, we see the rise of things like Joel Osteen and mega churches, which I think is actually taking people down that circus path. It's like it's infotainment rather than information, right? It's the religious equivalent of that. But as we see that grow, we also see this resurgence of these younger individuals maybe seeking out the more traditional spirituality. So I'm just kind of curious, are we making advances? You know, what can we do to try and ensure that we do push people, you know, not through violence or anything like that, but maybe just show them the benefits of those more traditional religious bends that you would obviously advocate for?
Of course, I think, you know, the truth is powerful. It can slice through so many lies quickly. You know, our church really works hard at going out and just doing personal evangelism and trying to get people saved. I think before you get saved, you're not going to really adhere to much of the truth. And so that's why we always are trying to, you know, preach the gospel, and that's our primary goal. But I think just any time we can make a documentary or make a show or do a video or write a book or do anything that just basically exposes more truth to a space like this, do podcasts, I think just get awareness is very much needed. And unfortunately, the enemy knows that. That's why there's so much gatekeeping. That's why there's so much censorship. That's why there's so much harassment. And I think that we just can't stop. We just have to keep going. I mean, I've obviously been banned from so many different things, but I think that I just trying to create more creative ways to put the information out there. I think with Elon Musk and Trump, this presidency, we might see some more opportunities than we had in the previous presidency. And I think what we need to do is take advantage of those opportunities, you know, putting the information out there when we can, and exposing people to the truth, because the truth is what matters. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, is what the Bible says. And so we need to just work really hard at caring what the truth is and trying to find people that are sincere. There's some people that you kind of run into, and they're going to gatekeep you on certain issues. And what we need to not do is just waste all of our money, effort, and energy on people that won't have the hard conversations, that won't talk about these things. Because, you know, I have a lot more in common with someone that believes completely differently than me, but is willing to talk about anything, than someone that seems like on the surface they're kind of conservative and like things that I like, but they won't talk about the issues. They won't let me bring up the documentaries that I've made. They won't allow me to talk about the Jewish issue. They won't allow me to talk about what the Bible says. And then it's like, well, what's the point of even having a conversation? Are we really going to sit here and just argue and make a whole documentary on how men are actually men and not really a woman? Like, you know, they think that that's a big win in the culture, but I'm sitting here thinking, like, who changed their mind? who was sitting at home thinking like, I really actually believe women are men. And now that I've watched Matt Walsh's documentary on what a woman is, now I've changed my mind. Now I actually know what a woman is. Like it's just a decay of society. And you have a few people just trying to make a buck as the Titanic goes down. I mean, it's eventually like somebody going around selling food on the Titanic as it's sinking. And we think that that's somehow a solution. And it's like, this guy's just trying to get a few extra bucks and arranging, you know, deck chairs on the Titanic. Like we need to find a boat. We need to get off. We need to do something different here. And we can't just keep funneling money and time and effort and energy into people that won't talk about these issues. And so, you know, I'm definitely trying my hardest to reach out to people and make new friendships and collaborate. But really just, you know, I want to make more, films and do more podcasts, do more shows. That's why I'm having this conversation. And that's why, you know, I'm interested in talking with other people. The truth is what we need to do. When the government fears the people, then typically you're going to be in a better spot. When the people fear the government, that's when it's dangerous. And so we really need to educate the populace and keep them fully aware, allow them to understand a lot of truth. Our education system is such a detriment. I feel like we almost have to sit here and just like almost have like a class, like a classroom setting. Like, all right, now let's learn real history. Let's like learn what actually happened in the Dark Ages. Let's actually what really happened in the French Revolution. Let's actually let's like learn what happened with the Russians. Let's just learn what happened like 10 years ago. Let's just realize that in a Texas in 2003, it was illegal to be a fag. It was illegal to be a homosexual. And so like, just think about like the insanity of where we've gone in just about 20 years. Like that's just insane. The trajectory we've been headed on. And you can't even say these things on public television. In the 90s, you could say the word fag. You have all kinds of movies and people saying this. Now it's just like we have transgenderism and Satanism and just all this stuff. And I feel like we have a little bit of momentum. I think people have kind of woken up that Hollywood is not great. They're kind of lame. The writing has gotten really bad. The actors are just so bad. Our government is so old and so out of touch. Technology has really changed a lot of things. And so we have a little bit of momentum here. We need to lean into it, use that, make, you know, good film, make good spaces, make good books, make good information and get it out there. I mean, what changed, the Catholic Church, the Protestant Reformation was when Martin Luther, you know, stuck on the door of the 95 Theses. Now, I'm not Catholic. I don't really agree with Catholics, but it's like, what caused a change? Him putting this, you know, literature on the door saying the Pope is bad and the Pope is wrong on a lot of issues. What changed the world when William Tyndale translated the Bible into English and then we have an English king allowing the Bible to be translated and people to actually be able to read it? That's what changed America. That's what influenced America. That's what caused people to get out of the Dark Ages in a major way in Europe. Why did they have a Renaissance? Because of literature, because of reading. People need to get back to reading. People need to have education. People need to have vocabulary. People need to understand why we're here and where we came from and who the players are at the table. Because right now everybody's just distracted. People are apathetic. People are confused. And, you know, we need to basically bring them up to speed on so many issues. So, you know, like I said, I'm just really appreciative of having this kind of conversation and talking about these issues, but we just need more and more people bringing out the awareness and having the boldness to talk about things that are uncomfortable or get you quote banned, you know, or whatever. So.
Really well stated. And I'm just kind of curious for, you know, your take there in terms of that awakening, for individuals that are listening in right now, they want to do their small part. What is their best way to try and connect individuals to somebody like yourself or their local churches and communities? What have you seen that has been really successful, with those that maybe you've been trying to win over, that are in your immediate vicinity or perhaps those that are connected to you digitally, even though they might be hundreds of miles, if not an ocean away from you?
Well, the first step, everybody needs to get saved. And, you know, that's just believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says salvation's a free gift. Jesus already paid for all of our sins. And all of the other religions out there are teaching you works-based salvation, teaching you have to be catechized or be baptized or repent of all your sins or do all these works. And the Bible teaches salvation is a free gift. And it really is simple. It's a one-time decision. Once you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're given eternal life. You become a son of God. And you can't change that for any reason. And so people need to, make sure that they're saved and trusting in faith in Jesus. I have a lot of videos on that. You can go look up the Bible Way of Heaven. Go to our website, sbckjv.com. On the front of our page has a Bible Way to Heaven video. It's 10 minutes. That's the first step. Second step, you need to just start reading your Bible. And you just need to read the King James Bible. If you haven't read it cover to cover, you just have to do it. And you need to read the New Testament. That is going to give you an idea of understanding how the world works. I think beyond that, really, people should be also just educating themselves in general about history, getting primary sources. You need to go to a good church, a church that's King James only. I believe salvation is by faith. And of course, if you don't have a great church, you can always listen to sermons online from a church like ours. But, the most important thing we can do is getting other people saved. And the thing it takes a grassroots army. It takes individuals to say, you know what? I'm going to get saved and I'm going to help other people get saved. And then once they're saved and they have the truth, then it's like, okay, we got a King James Bible. Okay, now we're going to actually try to live real Christianity out. Christianity is what made our country great, and it's not going to be great without Christians again. We need Christians to be Christians. We need Christians to be bold. We need Christians to adhere to the truth. And even if you weren't raised Christian or you're raised with a bad type of Christianity, don't allow those lies and those manipulators and those false prophets to discourage you from the real truth. Of course, the devil's going to want to create, 10,000 bad versions of Christianity to get everybody jaded against the truth and not like the Bible. But we need to realize that that was a distraction. And a lot of us have been distracted from the truth. We need to get back to the Word of God. God loves us. God wants to use us mightily. God wants to restore our cities, nations, states, our families, our churches. And the only way we can get that is if we go back to Him. God was with the children of Israel in the wilderness, but they were not really blessed because they weren't really doing what He said. And it wasn't until you had a new generation with Joshua say, hey, we're going to do what the Bible says. And then they had great successes and they conquered their enemy. Our country and our nation and our group of people will not have success if we do not adhere to the Bible. So we have to adhere to the Bible, and we have to just say, you know what? It's right. I'm wrong. Let us change. And it takes every individual. I can't do it by myself. It takes other people to become zealous for the truth and to maintain good works and to say, you know what? I can make a difference. I can get my spouse saved. I can get my children saved. I can start teaching them the Bible. I can start doing homeschooling. I can start educating them. I can give them a good education. I can help them get skills so that when they go into the workplace, they can actually make good money. A strong middle class is going to also help preserve America. We need to get away from debt. We need to get away from all the dependence of Jewish banks. We need to get away from them owning all the land. All we see is apartment complexes being built all over this country. That is terrible for our nation. We need to get rid of apartments and we need to go back to private land ownership. We need to, hold our government accountable for all the evil things that they're doing and the money that they're wasting. And, these things don't happen when people are just a slave to oppression and they're not knowledgeable and they don't work hard and they don't care. Every single person needs to take personal responsibility and say, hey, I need to educate myself. I need to read. I need to learn. I need to work hard. I need to go and I need to do that which is right. And, God created us with instruction manual. That instruction manual is the Bible. We always work best when we're doing it the way that He created it. So, if you try to use something against the instruction manual, it might break or have problems. When you do according to the manufacturer's guidelines, it's always going to work and operate the smoothest. That is the Word of God. That is the Bible. We are His creation. And so we need to adhere to what He gave us. And I think that if you feel like you have no part in His, you're wrong. Every single person is important right now. Sharing the truth. And really, this is what they should do, is they should get behind the right kind of leaders. Like I said, not giving their money to people that won't actually say the real things, that won't say the truth, that aren't going to encourage people to make positive decisions, that aren't trying to get people saved, that aren't trying to turn people to righteousness. Stop wasting your money, time, and effort on fake solutions, fake politicians, fake religion, and get behind the real truth. So That's a big list. But again, just to summarize one more time, you know, get saved, start reading your Bible, go to a church where you can get baptized. That's King James only. Of course, educate yourself, work hard, and try to educate everyone around you. Be bold. Be someone that's knowledgeable and get behind the right kind of leaders. Get behind people that are actually going to take bold stands for the truth, and they're not going to just use your money for personal satisfaction, but rather they're going to use your money to get the truth out there. And so, you know, we're going to keep making documentaries. We're going to keep doing missions trips, and I'm going to keep doing all kinds of shows. And that's my goal, is to get the truth out there. So love being in the chat and having this conversation.
Yeah. And love being able to try and maximize your voice, get exposed to some new individuals so they can support that work. Real quick, before we go to a Q&A, I know we got a lot of individuals looking to kind of pick your brain. The way that people can best support those projects, whether it's through kind of charitable donations or supporting your documentary, whether it's on views or subscriptions or things of that nature, what can people that are listening in that are really liking what they're hearing, what could they do to kind of just, you know, add to the coffers, if you will, with all the work that you're doing?
Yeah, and again, I want them to get saved and get to go to a good church. If they have a good church, you know, support that church. If they don't, you know, find a good church that's trying to reach people and support them. You can, you know, our church is sbckjv.com. There's a lot of information on there for free that you can watch. You can watch our documentaries. Share them, you know, with your family individually, because you can't even share. If you put our website, sbckjve.com, in Facebook, it'll say this is a known terrorist website. You can't even share it or whatever. So like in many cases, you have to like share these things individually with people. And so, you know, sharing that with them, supporting them, get into a good church, start, you know, preaching the gospel, learning how to preach the gospel, learning what the truth is, and learning on these topics. Learning how to articulate them in a manner that is palatable. If you just get up and just say like, I hate Jews because they have big noses, you know, it's like, that's not going to really win a lot of people over. But if you can actually show them a movie like Marching to Zion, or, you know, you want to help people understand the Bible, preservebible.com is a great way. And, you know, educate yourself on these topics. Really get plugged in. That's going to make a big difference. You know, follow and share the information from the people that are making the big difference, and, you know, give your time to the things that matter. Give your time to the Bible. Give your time to people that are going to speak the truth. Give time to your family and those that are interested in the truth. And, you know, that's what's going to make a big difference, is when people actually put their time, effort, energy, and money in the right spots. So I hope that's kind of an answer to your question.
No, it's a great answer, and it's one that is selfless, right? You're not saying, hey, go here and donate to my cause, but rather to the cause that is just merely seeking out the truth and for individuals to find some kind of relationship with God, which is, you know, really the message that I think everybody can get behind universally. To open things up to some of the questions, I know that Eyes to See had their hand up. If others want to pop up here and certainly, you know, kind of ask for some of the expertise of band pastor, certainly feel free to request a mic. If not, we'll go to Eyes to See and then go over to Sean.
Yeah, I appreciate the conversation very much, fellas. As a lifelong conspiracy theorist, I'm not trying to act like I'm anything special, because I'm not. I left church as a teenager, and I found my way back to find out that what I believe now is Jesus Christ is the ultimate truth. And it's not about going to church. It's about a relationship with God. And I feel like I had a blind faith as a young man, and now that I'm an adult, my faith is far from blind. It's based on logic. It's based on evidence, historical evidence. There's a lot of fake history. There's a lot of nonsense going on. They want everybody completely lost and confused, but we're not. I'm personally standing on solid ground, and a blind fingerprint on the text that you won't see if you never look. And I just wanted to give my take, my perspective on that. Again, appreciate the perspective or the conversation, Philip.
Yeah, thanks for your comments. You know, again, I think people a lot of times are just jaded against church because they've been in a lot of bad churches. But the word church in the Bible is just meaning congregation. So it's just other believers. And really, that's what the devil wants, is us to not be united and not get together and have friendships and fellowship. I mean, church, what it's supposed to do is iron's supposed to sharpen iron, and we're supposed to be around other like-minded believers who have a love and a zeal for the truth and are actually going to fight the good fight of faith and to encourage each other and come alongside each other. The Bible says two are better than one. And so that's why I do emphasize going to a good church. And of course, there's not a lot of great churches in this world, but you know, if you're interested, you could always email our church. We'll try to, you know, help you find one in your area. Of course, you're always welcome to visit our church too, but there's, you know, there is a lot of bad churches out there. And so I empathize with people from having bad experiences, but I want to encourage them that the institution's not bad. It's just you might have been around some bad people that didn't actually have a zeal or love for the truth. So conspiracy theorists as well. So appreciate those comments.
Yeah. And Ben, what would, for people that are listening that might not have proximity to you and are looking for something that's in their neck of the woods, what, you know, a couple things, three, five things would you recommend that they use as kind of a barometer to try and figure out who might be a better church than others, right? Is it a conversation with one of the pastors? Is it something about the organization? What would you look for?
Yeah, I would look for a Baptist church that's King James only and believes salvation by faith. Those are probably the three most important. There's a website called Military Get Saved that you can go, and there's about 7,000 churches that they have listed. Not all of those are good, and not every fundamental Baptist church is good, but those are going to typically be your best bets. I also believe the New IFB is a great movement, and there's several churches in the New IFB that are not only just in the United States, they're actually in the world. There's places in Canada. There's a church in Vancouver, Washington, near Portland. There's a church in Sacramento, California, Verity Baptist Church. The one in Sure Foundation is in Vancouver, Washington. There's a church in south part of California, in kind of Orange County, L.A. area, First Works Baptist Church, great church. Faithward Baptist Church in Tempe or Phoenix, Arizona. Pastor Steven Anderson is a great church. And I'm not going to remember all the ones off the top of my head, but there's lots of churches out there that you could find. I think that's going to be your best bet, is finding people that you would be surprised are actually awake on a lot of these issues. They actually know, you know, what's going on with Zionism and how it's fake. They are aware of a lot of the injustices going on by our government, and 9/11 is an inside job, and all kinds of different things like that. And so, you know, it's just that there's a lot of churches that are just kind of a social club, and it's just babysitting a bunch of goats, you know? So, I mean, at the end of the day, like, you can't get bad. Like, this is how I look at our government. There's nothing wrong with a constitutional republic. The problem is that we have a bunch of bad politicians and leaders in that government. The structure of our government's fine. You know, the Constitution's fine if we actually did what it said. It's the problem is, and again, church is fine if they actually did what they said. But you got women pastors. You have the Pentecostal nonsense of people just getting up and blabbing things they don't even understand what they're saying. And you have, of course, anything Catholic or Catholic light basically teaching all kinds of hardcore work salvation. So you do have to avoid, obviously, a lot to find the truth, but that's just how the world is. The devil has the father of lies, and he has his minions out there, and we need to avoid them. You know, it's probably better to not go to church than to go to a bad church, like one that has the wrong gospel. But it's still better to go to a good church than to not. So I just want to encourage
you. Yeah, absolutely. And for folks, Michael O'Neill put into the chat asking, if there's a way to get some of your content via sites like Facebook, given some of the changes on censorship that Zuckerberg has promised. I don't know if he's actually delivered on it, but are you guys putting content out there? And if so, where could people go to visit, you know, either live feeds or other information from you guys?
Yeah, the best, we're on Rumble, and so you could find the Baptist Bias on Rumble. You could find Steadfast on Rumble. Our church website's sbckjv.com. We do have a Facebook page for the Baptist Bias, but I can't completely control it because I got nuked personally from it. But I do try to put some things out there on Facebook, maybe on Instagram too. I think we have an Instagram, but baptistbias.com has links to all of that podcast stuff. So we do a lot of podcast things that has some links if you're interested in kind of more of the public sphere that I'm able to enter into. Of course, helping me grow on Twitter, and I'm trying to use that as best I can. Obviously, Twitter has its pros and cons. Rumble is a great platform as far as streaming is concerned, but I can't obviously use things like YouTube and stuff like that right now. But I would love to if that ever happens. But we also send out, we have movie tickets that we print and make for our church films and stuff. We send them out. If you ever want them, you can email us and we'll just send you a bunch and you can hand them out to whoever you want. So we're all about getting the information out there. But obviously there's a reason why I'm banned. They don't want the truth to get out there. And so, in fact, if you go to the ADL website, it's funny. I'm actually a glossary term on their website, which is kind of funny. Like, who cares about this small, you know, medium size? I mean, we have a couple hundred people that go to our church, but it's like, it's not like a Joel Osteen sized church. It's like, why do they care so much? It's, they just know how powerful the truth is. And so if we can get enough people to just, to rally around the truth, it can really have a big impact.
No, and I mean, on that, when it comes to the impact, I mean, obviously you've had an immense one. The fact that all these social media apps are trying to censor and suppress your you know, the truth that you're bringing, it to me anyway, it's demonstrative that the things that you're sharing are not only righteous but are also scary to those people in charge, which it you know, I just find that rather comical, right? That the ADL is terrified of what you're pushing out when everything that I've heard thus far is just a call for that which is good and is defined as good based on essentially a philosophy, a set of ethics and morality that goes back at this point thousands of years. And it really is unfortunate that we see that group of people with so much power where they can normalize basically evil as if it is the good. And they can say that which is good is somehow evil. So, I'm just certainly happy to be able to be here to try and, you know, bring additional attention to the work that you're doing. And with that being said, I know we got some additional questions. I'd be curious if Sean, or if not, if Comply or Mancos has some additional questions for you.
Yeah, I just want to be careful about how I'm asking these questions, because I don't want to like take us off subject. But you know, the things that we're discussing with the Christian Church, including like the Bolshevik Wars, where we believe that 60 million Christians were wiped off the face of the earth. You know, as a Christian, that really affects me, hearing that, you know, knowing that some of those things affect our world today. You know, I've been, thanks to Uncensored, I've been looking at the Protocols of Zion, so I'm glad you mentioned it, you know, and, you know, I've been struggling to try and find ways to verify the information, because, you know, when you start talking about this and you start putting the pieces together, you get some pushback from people. Do you know what I mean? Including when you're trying to put some of these kind of obvious parts of history together. I know that you mentioned the expulsions, and I was interested to hear about some of the Middle Eastern expulsions, including when 130,000 Jews were pushed out of Iraq, and finding out those reasons why they did that in the 1940s and 50s. And then, of course, we talk about Egypt as well, where they seized Jewish businesses, and in Morocco, where they were pushed back to Israel and France, indeed. So, you know, and even then, like, I look at the protocols as a good example of some of these expulsions, you know. And one of the quotes I just like to lay before that I'll let you go to Hans is, our kingdom will be distinguished by nepotism of such magnificent proportions that it will wipe out any nation that opposes us. And so I've been going through these kind of protocols. That's protocol 3. I've been going through these protocols and trying to piece these things together. So I'll just go back to listener, and I'd be really interested to listen to a lot more of this space. Thank you, Ian, as well. Thanks, Wolf, for bringing me up.
Yeah, thanks to the speaker. And of course, there's going to be pushback on both sides. And of course, you see injustices to all kinds of different people. I think that, you know, we can at least admit that there's been injustices to people that are ethnically Jewish. And so we don't want to necessarily think, I mean, some of them are victims. I think that the large percentage of people that were Jews were kind of victims of the power hungry elites from World War II, and those that in many cases even sold out their own brothers for all kinds of evil. You see the Rothschilds, and you see different individuals basically just admitting to some of the atrocities that they committed at their own hands, ratting out their own people. George Soros is kind of like his own an informant against these people. And so, you know, I also empathize and say like, hey, if there's a Jew out there that wants to believe in Jesus Christ and be saved, that they need to also do so. And I love that person as an individual. But I think at the same time, we have to recognize, hey, there's still a problem here, and we need to talk about why you have, you know, the problems that you're having, why there's issues, why there's pushback, why there's hatred. I mean, you know, there's all this talk about anti-Semitism that exists in our world. You always have to ask this question, like, why? I mean, are people just randomly just waking up and just deciding, like, I'm just going to hate a group of people for no reason, and we're going to just make laws to just outlaw this group of people just, you know, throughout history and all these different countries for just no reason? Like, you know, why doesn't anybody just ask, like, why is there anti-Semitism? We seem to always say, like, there is a bunch, but then it's like, well, why? And, like, what's the real thing that's going on? So I appreciate those comments. I forgot one church. I want to recommend, if you're in Oklahoma City, you got to go to Anchor Baptist Church with Pastor Dylan Oz. He's also someone that has made a big splash and got a lot of national attention and billions of views on TikTok for some of his preaching. But Oklahoma City, you got to go to Anchor Baptist Church.
Thanks. I just wanted to respond quickly to that. You know, what I believe is personally, you know, when you look at this whole thing and you said about, you know, there being innocent Jews, I would believe you on that. But what I also believe is that Jews are that this thing that hides behind, I would call it Jewish supremacy, they need some kind of innocent scapegoat, right? And so that's what they tend to do, is they make this innocent scapegoat, and it has to be true, right? It can't all be falsified. So they need a section of people, right, who genuinely believe that there's something good about what their religion is, right? That allows it to become more believable in the world about why we allow the evils to creep into this world. Does that make sense of what I'm saying? So as I look through all of this, what I see is a scapegoat throughout history at each time that we try to challenge this through these expulsions, where they say, hey, we're all innocent. And then they go back to another country and do the same over and over and over and over again, you know? And so that's what I would say on that. Sorry, I'll let people speak now, because I'm sure we've got hands up.
No, I think that was a great point. And I agree with you that they kind of like use a low level Jews as a kind of a punching bag. They do a bunch of bad stuff and then put a bunch of people in harm's way. And then they say, oh, look, we're victims and we're being attacked. And so it's kind of like a double win for them. And so I definitely think that they need those victims, but I think that they are, in many cases, some of them are kind of victims. I think it's kind of a two-edged sword. Some of them are victims. Some of them are kind of like claiming to be victims, but they kind of know what's going on too. It's kind of like the gangster wife who she doesn't know that her husband is killing a bunch of people and murdering them and what he's doing at night. But she does know that she's getting a bunch of money and it doesn't really make sense. And so it's kind of like, is she a victim when she's harmed because of her husband's occupation? And it's like, is she really a victim? You know, I guess that's for a lot of people kind of to decide, but no, appreciate those comments.
Yeah, no. And it's funny. I've always found that, dynamic curious, because, you know, we'll go into spaces and I'll talk about what I believe is essentially Jewish privilege in the Western world. And people will say, well, what's wrong with that? And I say, well, wasn't white privilege the problem for like four generations, according to the media? And people will say, well, I mean, maybe it was. And it's like, no. I mean, as literal as 10, 15 years ago, it was demanded by the media that just because you're white, that you had a subconscious bias and all of this other kind of stuff. And I just suggest it because I would agree with you. I think there is a benefit that a lot of individuals that, you know, they're not necessarily nefarious, but they're receiving that bias that for so long the media screamed was actually benefiting white people. And it's like, we see all around us, obviously that has not been the case. But I would agree with you, Ben, where I think a lot of people in the Jewish community are frankly just, they're indifferent to knowing these truths. They benefit from them existing, whether or not they acknowledge them openly, or whether or not they kind of participate willingly in it. It's still there. And simultaneously to Sean's point, you know, the same group of people that are having that, what I would define as privilege, also believe themselves the victims of this endless animus and bigotry and all these other kind of things. So it's this very, and that's why I do look into the genetics. I know it's not something that you necessarily wanted to tether yourself to, but I you know, if nothing else, there is certainly an overrepresentation of things like schizophrenia, paranoia, all of these other behavioral characteristics that loosely would reflect things like narcissistic personality disorder, which if you just look at the religion, the idea of being the victim while victimizing others, it kind of fits perfectly into that NPD psychological profiling. But that's a much larger conversation. But either way, would love to see if Manco's Cost or Comply have a question for Band. Go for it, Cost.
Cool. Thanks for letting me up. Great space. I had a question for Ben Pastor. What evil specifically are you referring to in National Socialist Germany?
I guess I don't remember. Can you remind me of the quote a little bit more? What I brought up?
Well, basically about what, you know, the evils, so the so-called evils that the Germans did. Because in my estimation, National Socialist Germany is not only the greatest civilization that's ever existed on the face of the earth and all of human history, it's actually the most Christian as well. And that's why America, Jewish America, decided to destroy it. So quarantining and segregating Jews is not an evil. It's actually, it's a justice and it's moral. Christians are fundamentally, I'm a Christian, we are fundamentally incompatible with these people. We have no business living anywhere near them, especially allowing them into our civilization. So I don't see what the Germans did as being not just wrong, but especially not evil.
Well, I guess, you know, for me, like when it comes to just war in general, there's going to be collateral damage. And so the word evil can be interpreted as like wicked or just harm. And you could do evil to someone that deserves it. You can do harm unto someone that does deserve it. And it's not necessarily wicked. But I think at the very least, everyone would have to acknowledge that when you have worldwide war, there's going to be women and children and different people that are just casualties of war, and that evil happened unto them, regardless of, you know, what your position is on who's the most right when it comes to a particular conflict. I don't think that there's anything wrong with having expelled Jews from Germany or wanting to rid themselves from all the transgenderism and all the nonsense they're bringing into their country. I do think that, you know, when it comes to Hitler specifically, Hitler was not a Christian. I think he had a Catholic upbringing and really didn't adhere to that very much. Hitler had ideas to extract a lot of land from the East, and he attacked obviously a lot of different countries. And so, you know, I like personally don't really agree with Hitler's actions. I don't think that Hitler was a good guy. I think Hitler had a satanic influence as well, because you could see all the pagan idolatry in their worship ceremonies. It was what I would call it, when they're going up and parading all kinds of graven images and satanic imagery. And there was a lot of evil people in the Nazi party. That doesn't mean that they don't have a right to exist as a country. That doesn't mean that they don't have the right to defend themselves from just communism or poverty or whatever. I just don't know that I could say I personally agree with how they handled that. I don't really agree with their leadership. And you know, from my perspective, like I'm coming to it from a more of a religious perspective, you know, Hitler's not a saved Christian. He's not someone that was seeking for the truth of the Bible. He didn't want to see people saved. He killed a lot of people through his actions.
Can I just interject that essentially everything that's come out of your mouth is factually false and is probably propaganda? We actually just had a 2.5-hour space on positive Christianity and especially dispelled everything that just came out of your mouth.
Could you just point out one statement? Cause I don't think that anything I said was wrong.
Well, essentially all of it that whether or not you agree with Hitler, I really don't care. That's not important. But when you're passing off, statements as fact and you put authority behind them, like he wasn't a Christian. Well, that may be your opinion, but the fact is that there's more than enough evidence, and I'm actually surprised that HSG is not in here.
So Hitler fact is a Christian? That's you're going to tell me.
Yeah, Hitler factually was a Christian. Yes, he was a Catholic and he adhered to it. And again, we just had, you're more than welcome to listen to the.
Well, I differentiated from Christians and Catholics, and then I additionally said that he had a Catholic upbringing, but Okay. Are you telling me that he went to mass every single service and that there's very few
Christians in the world that actually do that? That doesn't negate them being a Christian at all. That simply does not disqualify you from being a Christian.
Yeah, this is your misunderstanding of religious terminology.
Coming from the guy who preaches the King James only brand of Christianity, 1 John 5:7, the Johannine controversy that you're clearly not aware of. There's certainly nothing wrong with NIV. So this whole like Southern Baptist King James version only crock of shit that you're pushing, that's all fine. I really don't care. But when you're slandering Adolf Hitler, who was one of the greatest Christians, probably the greatest Christian outside of the 12 disciples that ever walked the face of the earth in a homosexual empire like the United States, that had a segregated, racially segregated military that fought against the non-segregated German. I don't think as an American you have any moral ground whatsoever to complain about the SS, their command, or the Christianity of that empire.
Adolf Hitler especially, is the greatest especially Christian. That's hilarious, brother. That's hilarious.
It's also hilarious that you tell people to go to church every weekend to be a Southern Baptist bullshit. That's what that is. That's hilarious. You come onto these spaces and you are essentially keeping other white men in the maze of this homosexual democracy, this Roman homosexual democracy.
Yeah, watch the sodomite deception. Watch the sodomite deception.
United States. That's a Jewish colony.
There's no one on this planet that has a brain in their head that would say that I'm advocating for homosexuality. I'm literally banned on every single platform for calling for them to be publicly executed by the government. You literally said I'm keeping white men into this homosexual. Well, it's like everything you're saying is nonsense, and you're irrational, and you're just screaming.
You can't even prove one thing I said wrong.
You come in here and say I said all these lies, and you can't even prove one thing wrong, and you make stupid claims like Adolf Hitler's the greatest Christian ever.
Pulling bullshit out of your ass that Hitler's not a Christian isn't propaganda.
How is that propaganda?
That's not propaganda.
Who agrees with this fact? I mean, obviously online historical references. I mean, did you read Mein Kampf? Did you read Mein Kampf and him say I'm a Christian? Give me the quote where he says he's a Christian or anything close to that. I mean, you're just saying things that are nonsense right now.
So is there going to be anybody else that's going to push back on this guy or
I love pushback, but you know, you didn't push back on anything. You just made outrageous claims that are not true.
I can actually back up Band a little bit. If you actually look at the writings, including the private diaries and private letters of Speer and Goring and Goebbels, they all said by later in the war that Hitler had a negative view of Christianity and that he was critical of Christianity, but he had to keep up for appearances, you know, that he wasn't going to go publicly kind of against it, but privately that he was.
Who cares about that at all? That's the problem with people who are obsessed with religion, and period. Because you're not going to create an harmonic code or a natural order just by thinking that your way is the only way for all humanity, right? And this whole religious thing about you're a Christian if you go every single Sunday and don't miss a Sunday, it's the only thing that you stand for. It sounds a little crazy to me. I mean, if you're not spiritually attached to God or have God in you or believe in God, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't make it any better going to church, do you, at all?
Well, so I think...
To somebody, if you don't go to church every Sunday, they're not Christian enough on a Christian. It's just, that's a little crazy, brother. Just saying. I think that was a little much there. But anyways, a lot of other things I wanted to ask Colin. Colin, Carl's just pointed something out about Hitler and him being not a Christian. Ben said that he's not a Christian, that he doesn't like Christianity, and that he pushed, that he was kind of, what do you say about the satanic stuff, then? And some satanic rituals and all that. What kind of stuff did you just talk about?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at just a German ceremony, they have all of this different pagan idolatry that's coming from Greek mythology, then passed down to the Romans, and you can see all the different the birds and all the different graven images that they have incorporated into their ceremonies.
And what's so satanic about that?
Graven images is part of the Ten Commandments. Is something that you're not supposed to do. You're not supposed to make graven
images. But you're gonna think that Catholics.
This guy's gonna act like Catholics.
Yeah, you're, yeah. I mean, look, that's going to be where we separate, and that's fine. You can be that, but, you know.
Yeah, what are you, band pastor?
Yeah, he's going to be like anti-Catholic, anti-Pentecostal, you're like, do you know of maybe someone that we can kind of at least have in common a little bit? I enjoyed the work of, even though he would hate me, I'm sure, because I am Catholic, but Fighting for the Faith with Chris Roseborough. No, I know. You know what I mean, though. You know what I mean. You hate Catholicism, right?
Like, I don't. Yeah, I definitely strongly disagree with religion.
Or something, right? Yeah. I mean, either way. But, I mean, no, I get what you're saying there, but no, I mean, I'm going to take a very cautious, Hitler's religion is difficult to pin down exactly. I think early in his life, it's extremely easy. The last couple of years, it gets a little bit iffy, maybe. But definitely early in his life, started out Christian, started out Catholic. Had some issues once he encountered the Jewish question. But I think even later on, here's my position. I don't think he was lying to his people when he said in speeches, my Lord and Savior and Christ, you know, that when he would say things like that, people are going to have to take the position that Hitler was lying to his people. I don't take that. I don't know what your thoughts are on Hitler, though. That would be my thing. But I mean, I'm pro Hitler as can be.
I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm an expert on his religion, but at the same time, if someone told me Donald Trump's a Christian because in his speech he mentioned God, or Joe Biden's a Christian because he mentioned in his speech God, like, I think that that's a little bit of a stretch.
It's a bit of a straw man to just say that he mentioned in his speech. It's not just the mentioning of his speech, but also the, you know, the espousal of Christian values throughout the entirety of Germany at the time.
Well, of course,
he spoke about it in his speech many times as well.
I would say that Hitler for sure emboldened Christianity and Catholicism in the country, because you had this Jewish takeover, which was basically ruining the country. And I think what people just don't understand is it doesn't matter what religion you have. You have to have ideological continuity to be strong as a nation. And so if you want a nation to be strong, you can't be divided ideologically, because you're not going to have that unity that's going to allow you to have your strength. And so whether it be any religion you pick, or any nation or any country that's strong, it's going to be based on having ideological continuity. When you have a diaspora of views and atheism and all kinds of stuff, it's going to weaken that group of people. People are strong in numbers, and what unites them is having common ideas, common values, common beliefs. That's why America was great. That's why America is the nation that it is. People just don't realize how ideologically continuity of America was all the way up until even the 1960s. America was like 90% white, and pretty much everyone was evangelical. Pretty much everybody was a Christian, and they had gotten away from Catholicism by and large. I mean, you could not even be a Catholic in the state of Georgia until the 1900s. And so they weren't allowed to practice. You had Maryland specifically for the Catholics to go in Baltimore, because the rest of the country rejected Catholicism. So when I'm differentiating between Christian and Catholic, that's not me coming up with stuff. That's just history. It's just fact that there's a distinction between Christians and Catholics. And it's not like a surprise when someone says, hey, Hitler's not a Christian, even though he had obviously Catholic influence, Catholic upbringing. He obviously was very pro those religions being able to do their thing, because he needed that to have the support of the people. As far as how much he believed in Catholicism, no one knows what was in his heart or anything like that. But yeah, I'm not pro Hitler as a person. I definitely think that he has his flaws. I just think that he's been obviously lied about and demonized, and, you know, more so because they need him to be the biggest enemy of World War II. And I don't believe he was necessarily the biggest enemy of World War II. I think he was a pawn of dark forces, and he basically got destroyed as a result of being the pawn.
What were his flaws exactly?
Well, he's not Christian. He's Catholic. Additionally, he made a lot of bad decisions.
Let's make a clarification here. Okay. Catholicism is a sect of Christianity, right? And, you know, as a Catholic, I'd argue that it is, you know, what you would argue is true Christianity, but you're making a differentiation between Catholicism and Christianity, which isn't true. You would need to hold a position that he wasn't, you know, a Protestant in some sort of form or fashion, whether or not that's Baptist, evangelical, or what have you, right? But Catholics are Christian. That I don't even know. Most Protestants wouldn't even argue that.
I knock on doors every week, And I literally knock on people's doors and they say, are you a Christian? And they say, no, I'm Catholic. So you're going to have to educate a lot of people on this subject because
I don't care what random people okay. that you knocked on the doors of say about Christianity and sure. whether or not they
out it came. Here it comes.
I don't really view as, you know, your anecdotal experiences as, you know, fact or anything like that. And not actually not 99, basically everybody understands that Catholicism is Christianity, right? There is a differentiation between, you know, different sects of Christianity.
But the point doesn't matter. The label doesn't matter. The point is that there's people that obviously don't adhere to the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church would think that I'm not a part of them. The Catholics would not say that I'm
right,
Catholic.
But they wouldn't say you're not Christian.
Well, you have to give me some label, and that label's different than Catholic. So,
but you just said labels don't matter. I don't understand that. And then you said that.
Well, he's just not having a conversation. He's arguing about semantics here, as opposed to the point that's being made.
Well, it says the guy who argues semantics.
Sorry, can I just say, as a non-Christian and as a Muslim, you're confusing me. So I'm trying to garner some kind of road here to follow.
But is there a difference between Shiite and Sunni Muslims?
What? No. Don't try to derail. Don't try to deflect. I'm respecting.
I'm not deflecting. I want to. Is there a difference between Sunni and Shiite Muslims, or are they all the same?
Well, I can actually turn around that you've got just as much sectarianism in your Christian belief in your Christian religion as much as Islam does. But we're not going to derail the space. What I'm asking you is, what did Hitler do, in your opinion, did not make him a Christian?
Well, before we get into his exact, because the semantics matter, right? Like, to say that the semantics don't matter whenever we're talking about the definition of Christianity is kind of a non-starter. Like, of course this matters. We're trying to hammer out definitions here. And so the semantics do matter, right? I mean, you had just said it yourself there. You consider Sunni and Shia to be both Muslim. That would be the same definition that basically everyone operates under when we're considering the different sects of Christianity. Basically, no one argues that Catholicism isn't Christianity, but it seems to me that you're making the position that it is. So that's the definition that I'm trying to kind of iron out here. Do you not consider Catholicism Christianity, or what?
Sure. So the word Christian can have two different meanings in my mind, at least. One would be just anybody that adheres to anything that has to do with Christ. And that's the definition you keep using. And I'm using Christian as someone that actually believes.
I haven't given you my definition. So right. Try not to straw man here. I'm trying to be good faith. I haven't given you my position or definition yet. So I wouldn't put words in my mouth.
Okay. Based on the conversation we've had, it seems clear that you're just clumping everybody together.
No, that's the same definitions that Muslims do to each other when they want to sit there and discuss sectarianism, and when they want to deflate and deflect, and they want to say blah, blah, blah. That's exactly the same way that Muslims do it. It's amazing how so much similarities when people say that only sectarianism exists in the Islamic religion, but really it's clear by your definition that sectarianism also is within the Christian religion. But you haven't answered the question. What is it about Hitler to you that appeared that he was not a Christian?
Yeah, he didn't have faith in Jesus Christ as faith alone. He obviously adhered to Catholicism.
You can't determine a person's intent. I'm talking to you about action. You can never determine a person's intent. That is between the person and God. Okay, so what I'm asking you, by actions, what is it that he did?
Hitler wasn't a Christian, but he built the most Christian civilization that's ever existed in 30,000 churches in 12 years.
Yeah, again, I disagree with lots of actions of Hitler. Obviously, you know, he shouldn't have invaded all kinds of different countries and taken over their land. But
that's another lie.
He did not invade France.
I do want to get into the philosophy.
He didn't bomb
Ben, let's do one at a time real fast with Ben. I would like to have Colin kind of give him a little bit of some education, let the guy kind of go. But Ben, really, you need to understand history before you talk about that you don't like that he invaded countries. You don't understand why he did it. So I'll let actually Colin do it because he's very good at it. Just hear him out so you understand where we're coming from.
The question wasn't about motive. It was just action. I was asked an action. He literally invaded those places.
For every action, there's a reason, right?
I'm not saying that his justification is.
I would like to get into Hitler's flaws, but I want to kind of go step by step here.
Hang on, Colin, real quick, I just want to thank you, Colin, for the way that you always, you know, kind of conduct yourself at these back and forths. I want to thank Wolf, for, you know, kind of setting the tone and not allowing this to just become a dog pile. And I also want to thank Band Pastor for, coming to this and being willing to take a position that frankly in some of the JQ spaces that we often kind of, you know, find ourselves is one that's contrarian, right? There's obviously going to be a lot more admiration for things that were done by the National Socialists and their moral condemnation, by many that are in this room. But I want to make sure that the same way that I would kind of critique the FBAs for jumping up and down and slamming their hands on the table the moment that I bring up things about, you know, IQ studies and all this other kind of stuff. If Ban pushes back, let's try to, you know, similarly conduct ourselves at the high level of intellectual and emotional excellence that I think everyone up here on this panel is certainly capable of and always demonstrates, just so that we can keep this super productive and make it a positive experience for everybody, where nobody's leaving feeling like they're just getting punched to get punched, but rather to share information and make it a productive conversation. So with that, Colin, I know that you'll certainly do so, but I just figured I'd set that stage and also thank Band for, you know, for being willing to do this, because a lot of people would probably have just gotten up and said a couple nasty things and walked out of the room at this point. And so I want to, you know, compliment him for certainly not doing so.
Yeah. Thanks, Ian. And yeah, we'll, I always want to keep it high, bro. You know, that's, the priority here.
Yeah. And that's why I said, call him, please. And let's just not, like, there's probably stuff coming. Like, it just seems like Band needs just, you know, we can have open dialogue, but let's not attack him. I mean, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, so before we get into, you know, Hitler and his flaws, because I do want to know your position on that, right? I still want to hammer out the definitions here of what you consider Catholicism to be exactly, and whether or not, of course, we consider, you know, Hitler to be Christian or not would be, you know, the next question, and then his flaws and what he did wrong would be, you know, the part after that, right? So, I mean, your position here seems to be, because, right, like, I would agree with you on your definition of Christianity, right? This is people that follow the teachings of Jesus, okay? This is, would I think be the, you know, the majority's opinion of what Christianity is, okay? And then within each sect of Christianity, whether or not we're talking about the various Protestant sects, we're talking about Catholicism or Orthodoxy, these would be the different interpretations of what Jesus Christ taught, right? So, I mean, that would be my definition of what Christianity is. I don't know if you differ here or whether or not you then consider Catholicism to be something that isn't, that doesn't fit that definition. I want to hammer out these definitions first before we kind of go any further. Otherwise, we're just kind of going to be arguing past each other.
No, I think I use the word Christian in multiple ways, and I do use the word Christian at times the way you just defined it, and I agree. It's that sometimes when I'm using the word Christian, I'm referring to in my mind those who are the true followers of Christ, the quote true Christians. So, if, you know, again, obviously I'm not saying you agree with that. Someone who's Catholic would argue with me and say they're the true Christians, right? So I'm just kind of throwing out that. I was more trying to say maybe evangelical, or as some people would call Protestant, as differentiating from Catholicism, saying that Hitler's not really an evangelical or a Protestant. He was of the Protestant sect. So hopefully that brings clarity to what I did try to communicate and my definitions.
Okay, so this is where I would sort of, I mean, we can disagree on whether or not what we consider to be true Christianity, but, you know, obviously Catholics would disagree with your position that, you know, evangelicals are true Christianity. But then in that definition alone of true Christianity, that sort of is a sub-definition of its own, which kind of points to the fact that Christianity definitionally is just following, again, the teachings of Jesus, and then within there we will decide what those interpretations of those teachings are, and then that would determine what sect you denote as, right? So whether or not you consider Catholicism true Christianity or not, right? That's not really the definition that I'm operating under here, or what I think that the definition of Christianity is in general. Of course, you would think that, you know, Catholicism isn't true Christianity, and most Catholics would argue that, you know, Protestantism isn't true Christianity, but no one would argue that either of those sects aren't Christianity in general, right?
Again, it just depends on what context we're using that term, because I agree, Christian can be anybody within Greek, Orthodox, Roman Catholic, or some variation of Protestant evangelical.
Okay, great. Okay, so then we agree then on the definition of Christian in general. So
whenever we're, you know, having this conversation, it would be best then, because I would refer to Catholicism in specific, and I would then prefer to evangelicalism in specific, and then I would refer to Orthodoxy specifically as well whenever we're discussing the, each of these sects. I would never say, for example, you know, I'm a Christian and people who are Protestant aren't Christian. I would refer to, you know, whatever Protestant sect is we're actually discussing here. I wouldn't say that it's not Christianity. But either way, now that we've got the definitions hammered out here. So what exactly, what flaws did Hitler have?
I mean, again, Hitler, obviously, if you just go from a sin perspective, he obviously committed fornication. He committed all kinds of other sins that are mentioned in the Bible. So if you just say like an individual, he was not an upstanding character that just had one wife and raised a godly family and just went to church. Obviously, he's someone that has all kinds of character flaws. Additionally, I disagree with his religious sect. If you want to get nitpicky about which form of Christianity he was adhering to, I believe there's a lot of graven imagery and idolatry in the Nazi Party. Specifically when it comes to his actions as a leader, I think that he made a lot of flaws too, but that doesn't mean that I think he's the person that the media is portraying him as. It doesn't mean that I think everything he did was wrong, because at the end of the day, he, in many cases, was trying to liberate himself from a very oppressive government system and a lot of evils that were in his society. So I don't want to, I think that people kind of get mixed up on thinking like everything, if someone's not pro-Hitler, they just believe everything that someone has said about him online or something like that, or every textbook. Obviously, Germany has created some of the best auto manufacturing, chocolate, science, all kinds of different advancements happened under his leadership. They had the 1936 Olympics. Obviously, the Germans were very smart, very articulate. He recovered them from economic disaster. So you could look at a lot of those things and say, okay, maybe we could learn some stuff from this. Maybe we could learn from some of these things. But again, yeah, I personally disagree with the need to destroy France and the UK and all these different things. If you think those were justified, then I think he made a lot of flaws there too. He should have destroyed Britain before he went and attacked Russia. Additionally, obviously, he should have withdrawn troops from the front lines of Russia after he invaded and not allowed many of them to die from frostbite and hypothermia, and to make sure that the supply lines were taken care of. You could argue that maybe declaring war on the United States was a bad move, because of the fact that we got involved and we helped to destroy the German party. So I think, you know, when we talk about flaws, like, there's not a person on this earth that doesn't have flaws. The Bible says, for all of sin and come short of the glory of God. No one's perfect. Hitler is certainly not perfect. I do think that there was dark forces behind the scenes that are probably worse than Hitler was. And of course, I believe that, you know, in some ways he might have been fighting our common foe. But at the end of the day, like, Hitler was a force of evil, in my opinion. I believe he adhered to Darwinism and evolution, and he had very satanic ideology when it comes to humanity. So I strongly disagree with Hitler in a lot of ways, but I can also understand that he had some positives. That's my personal opinion on the topic. Obviously, many people are going to disagree with that.
So when it comes to his adherence to, you know, Protestant definitions of Christianity, and whether or not that would be a character flaw or not, would be something that's, you know, altogether subjective and not something that, you know, people that aren't Protestant would agree with, right? So I don't know if, you know,
Does the Catholic Church teach it's okay to have marital relations with someone you're not married to?
Well, it's not really about, again, the same problem would arise with that, right? So if we're going to say that it's a character flaw for him to not adhere to a Catholicism's definition of a character flaw as well would be altogether subjective, right? So then in that, I don't
How
think
is
you
it
would
subjective?
Find
I just asked, does the Catholic Church teach that it's okay to sleep with someone that you're not married
to? Well, it would be subjective to the definition of whether or not you consider not following Christianity to be a character flaw.
Right? I just asked, does the Catholic Church teach it's wrong to sleep with someone that you're not married to?
Yeah, again, you're completely overlooking the point that I'm making here. We're talking about
Colin, hang on. Like, just, and I'm not trying to play good cop, bad cop or anything along those lines, but he's just asking a pretty direct question, right? And I think it's reasonable to give a direct answer. And then we can also, you know, we can suggest how it might not be relevant for the larger point you're trying to make. But I think we can all agree that yes.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Clearly prohibited. Yeah, absolutely. Right. Okay, cool.
And Hitler did that. So that's a flaw. I mean, right. Some people are trying to tell me he had no flaws. Like, well, what does that even mean?
No. It would be a flaw to a Catholic, or it would be a flaw to a Protestant, but Muslims wouldn't find.
But isn't that the context of saying he's not a good Christian or Catholic if he's doing that?
Well, I didn't make the argument that he's not a good Catholic or Christian. I'm asking about whether or not he's a good person and his character flaws in general, right? Not an adherence to the definition of any Christian sect, Muslim sect, or, you know, any particular religious sect. We're just talking about his net characteristics and whether or not he was a good or bad person, right? Whether or not he followed and adhered to, you know, Christian Christian ethics isn't really the question at hand. It was whether or not, what were his character flaws as a person, right?
And so, what do I judge that based on if I can't use Christianity? How do I determine if someone's good or bad if I can't use the Bible?
Well, you could use, I mean, Muslims would argue you could use the Quran. A lot of secular people would argue you can use
I could use another religious text, but how could I judge someone's character without a religious text?
Well, we would be looking at the net positives versus net negatives of the person, right?
Based on what?
We look at whether or not. Well, even if we looked at it based on Christian ethics, right? You could argue, yes, like he did practice adultery, right? So if he goes ahead and he does that, like that doesn't adhere to Christian ethics. But then there were plenty of other things that he did do that did adhere to Christian ethics, and then plenty of people would make the argument that he did more in adherence to Christian ethics than he did not adhere to Christian ethics, right? And so then, if you were to damn all of the good things that he did simply because he didn't follow one piece of Christian ethics, I don't think people would then make the argument that that makes him a bad person, as you did, right?
No, but actually, and look, maybe this is a good place to come in and suggest that there's a lot of gray area between the black and white idea that somebody is perfect and that they are, you know, the embodiment of evil. And I think what's been interesting about this is that we've seen that, you know, perhaps we all know the mainstream media's portrayal and essentially all of society's portrayal that, you know, Adolf Hitler was the Wolfenstein villain, right? He came back as I think it was like super mecha Hitler by the end of the video game, right? That anybody that grew up in the era of the origins of the first person shooter, they'd be very familiar with that game, right? He's been personified as the ultimate evil of everything. We've got literal movies about Nazi zombies, right? And obviously that is a misrepresentation when you start really looking into the history. The National Socialists were not just, you know, satanic devil worshippers trying to bring the world to its knees in an inferno, right? It also doesn't necessarily have to mean that the inverse is the absolute truth and that the guy never did anything wrong, did never make any mistakes, or that the National Socialists didn't have some things that they could have done differently, done better, done whatever. And like I'm saying, you know, between good, like purely good, let's say Jesus Christ, and purely evil, let's say Satan, there's a massive chasm. And I think what we could probably agree to disagree on is maybe where on that spectrum that one man or the National Socialists would fall. But the good news is that we're all, well, let's say right, if truth is right and the lies are on the left, we're well right of the Overton window that is the normal understanding, which has obviously been completely perverted by the machine. And so, you know, how purely good or mostly good or more good than bad, you know, Hitler may have been, you guys could probably run around in circles forever, but to just make sure that we don't go, you know, too far down a pathway that obviously is never going to have you guys completely in agreement with each other. Maybe we can agree that, you know, that like I said, we're both well right, or everybody's well right of that Overton window of normalcy. But just how do we define, you know, ultimate good and ultimate evil and all that stuff? So maybe what we could do is just give 60 seconds to both Colin and then 60 seconds to Ban to kind of give their kind of not final thoughts, but their thoughts on this subject. And then we can also go to some additional hands so that we just don't run around in circles forever.
Right. Yeah. So sort of the argument here would be is that Hitler's personal choices within his life, such as his like sexual relationship with Eva Braun. And like, I mean, plenty of people have made arguments that they didn't even have a sexual relationship. Right. So what I would judge is the information that we do have a guaranteed sort of evidential, that we have evidence for, right? Such as him fixing the economy, the good deeds that he did for Germany as a nation, the defense of his people, the espousal of Christian ethics across the nation, all of these various things that I think everyone would agree, even Christians using a Christian ethics would agree that are in line with such, right? So what I would argue is that from a net negative to net positive, whether or not Hitler was a good person, like if we were to sort of gauge it on a percentage of Hitler was 60, 70, 80% good, I would argue that it's certainly well over the 50%. And if it fell below the 50%, then obviously we would go ahead and make the argument that Hitler wasn't a good person. But given all of the things that he did good for his people, the things that he did good for the identity of Germany as a nation, and also the things that even how he acted during war, right? So, you know, you had mentioned that he destroyed or attempted to destroy France and Britain. Well, I mean, he sent over 30 peace treaties to the Allies during the war. Everything that he did in terms of invading the various countries that he invaded were in the defense of his people, such as his invasion into Germany due to the holocausting of the German people in Leipzig and in the Rhineland. So, you know, I would argue that as a, you know, if we're looking at this as net good or net positive, I mean, as Ian said, I don't think that we're ever going to find common ground. I don't think anyone could ever find common ground other than probably through Jesus, the, you know, a pure good, right? But as far as whether or not Hitler was a good person, mostly, I would certainly make that argument given the evidence of the things that we actually had seen him do during his life.
Yeah, I just want to refresh the audience of where we even came from. Someone was talking about just Jews as a whole, and I brought up the concept that I think there's been some Jews that were the casualties of war in World War II, and someone said, well, I don't think that Hitler did any evil, and then it kind of spiraled into this kind of rabbit trail that is meaningless of trying to decide exactly how bad or good Hitler is, because it's kind of meaningless. But I do think that he was overall net negative and bad. I do think there was good things about some of what he did to help the German people. But at the end of the day, like, I do think he was bad. And I can understand, like, when you play the game Risk, if you're in Europe, you gotta attack somebody or you're gonna be attacked. So it's kind of like survival of the fittest in some sense. So yeah, I understand that when you're surrounded by UK and Russia and they're making treaties and there's all this animosity, like Hitler could feel like he's backed into a corner and forced to basically fight for his own survival. They just went through World War One. Obviously I understand all these things that are happening. It doesn't mean that I have to agree with them or say, hey, if I don't agree with what Hitler did, that means I agree with what the UK did or what the Britons are doing or the Russians are doing. Like, I can disagree with both sides. So at the end of the day, like, I don't think Hitler was a net positive. I do think there was some Jews that were the casualty of war. And I think that God loves all people. So to me, I don't want to sit here and just demonize all Jews. And I don't want to demonize all Nazis. And I don't want to demonize any huge group of people. There's always going to be the evil forces on both sides of some of these conflicts, and there's going to be the good people on both sides. And so, you know, I think to me, being a Christian, I want people to be saved.
The argument that he invaded these countries because he felt backed into a corner that's just not what happened, right? Historically, that's not what happened. He invaded these countries because they were annexed territories where ethnic German people were being slaughtered and raped. And so after asking with peace treaties multiple times to end that peacefully and amicably, he ended up going to war to end up defending his people, right? So this position that he invaded these countries because he was backed into a corner isn't really what happened. And then I also would like, I mean, you can say that you feel as though he was a net negative, but I haven't heard why you think he's a net negative, right? Like, I still don't understand your position as to why he was a net negative. Right. You brought up his personal relationships, which we have a very lacking evidence for. But other than that,
Eva Braun wasn't his girlfriend. I mean, I don't know what version of history
this
you're hearing.
So subversive, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, yeah,
Eva Braun wasn't his girlfriend. He didn't walk on water.
Even if I grant you, all right, even if I were to grant you this position that he did have, out of wedlock sexual relations with Eva Braun. One second, Joe Bob, please. Grant you that, right? This still doesn't make him evil, right? And then you haven't given any other positions other than that that you would consider him as such, even through a Christian ethics worldview, right? He wasn't backed into a corner and then just lashed out against the rest of Europe. That's not why he invaded the countries that he invaded, right? And I haven't heard anything else from you that would, you know, elicit a position that he was evil.
Again, there's
just
there's
to interject
mass,
really quick,
mass world war where lots of people die. I mean, yeah, so I think that that's
because
evil.
Of the American Empire.
So Genesis 12:3, God makes a promise, a covenant with Abraham, and says, "Not only will I bless the nations of the world through your descendants, but anyone who curses you, I will curse, and anyone who blesses you, I will bless." Now, are there some Jews in the world even today that have done evil? Yes, of course, there's evil in every nation. But the book of Ezekiel, chapter 38, is very clear. There will come a day when the enemies of Israel, in a day when no one stands with Israel, not even America, says no nation will stand with Israel. There will come a day when the enemies of Israel will think in their hearts, the Jews think they are the center of the world, and they will attack Israel, and God will make himself known. So, to discuss a net positive or net negative of Hitler, the fact that 6 million Jews, who no matter what version of Christianity you're adhering to, are God's chosen people. And yes, after Jesus died on the cross, we're all God's chosen people.
I talk whenever I want to, because I have my hand up. We got to listen to
you talk about that. That was definitely not true, whatever was just said.
Okay, hang on one second. One second, Ben. First of all, everybody in here, don't overtalk anyone, okay? Just so whoever was just speaking, let him finish. Ben, continue. Go with Hans. And we are going to go to Hans here in a second. And I know there's a lot of people who have a lot of things to say, but just, you know, let's keep it to, like, maybe, I don't know, what do you want to do, Ian? How much time do we have?
I got another 15 minutes. Obviously, y'all can keep the conversation.
You got another 15 minutes. There you go.
Yeah, I wanted to also to notify everybody of that, and it's not like, I just want to be very clear, it's not like Band is now just saying, oh, he made his time limitations crystal clear quite a while back, and so I want to be very clear on that front. And also, it might be a good opportunity, because perhaps what we could do is use the next 15 minutes to really, you know, focus on the religiosity that we were speaking about a little bit before. We could, of course, incorporate World War II if people want to. But knowing that we're then going to be winding this down, I see a lot of familiar faces up here that are very JQ-centric. And so maybe, Wolf, we could use that as an opportunity to lift and shift the conversation from here into JQ Radio if people really want to go into the intricacies of the Hitler aspect, which, I mean, frankly, I don't think Band would refute for a moment that he is less familiar with some of those intricacies than somebody like Space Cat or Kost or some of the others that I see in here that obviously have really done a lot of the detailed homework on that specifically.
For what it's worth as well, Band, I think we're going to find common ground on the disagreement in the definition there that a creative producer just brought up about the Jews and whether or not they have claim to being the people of Israel as well. I think that we're probably in agreement there, just judging from that quip you had made after you had finished speaking.
Yeah. I mean, everything that guy said was false. Genesis 12 is not about the Jews. It's about Jesus Christ. And so if you're not a Christian, if you're not saved, then you're not God's chosen people whatsoever. 6 million is a stupid number that was invented prior to World War II. So everything this guy's saying is false, and it actually just hurts Jews by just repeating all these stupid claims that aren't even legitimate whatsoever. But at the end of the day, like, you, when it comes to religion, you're going to piss people off. People are very, very opinionated on this topic. And of course, you know, that's why strength comes with ideological continuity. I have my beliefs. I think that that's the truth. Therefore, that's why I, you know, promote those ideologies. I'm not a pro-Hitler person, but that doesn't mean I have to necessarily believe all the propaganda that was used to demonize him and change who he was. You know, a criminal defense attorney, his goal is for his client to get what's just. So he doesn't want his client to get an unjust punishment. If he did a crime and he's guilty of 1 year in prison, he doesn't want to get the death penalty for his client because that would be bad. Or if someone was innocent, he doesn't want them to be charged with a criminal crime that he's not guilty of. I think that Hitler's probably had a lot of baggage with some of the things he did, but I personally do disagree with a lot of his decision-making, his ideological beliefs and viewpoints. He demonized people based on evolutionary principles. I strongly disagree with the Darwinism that was brought in by Jews. So he was influenced by Jews. I think you have Jews infiltrating the Nazi party and ruining them too. So, you know, it's a huge topic. Obviously, some people are going to watch Europa, The Last Battle and believe every single word from that film. And it seems like that's a lot of the audience in this group. But I don't think that just because I disagree with that documentary means I'm uneducated on the topic. Someone can understand what Hitler did, read his books, and still not like him and disagree with him. But some people are just going to be the biggest fanboy. So, you know, I think there's a huge gap between being knowledgeable on the topic and actually agreeing with the topic.
Ian, if I could jump in real quick, please.
I make sure the tip is good.
Yeah, I'm good to go ahead and go to hands here. I think me and Band could probably go on forever here on this back and forth. So, you know, in the interest of his time and everything, the hands would be I think we found a little commonality in everything there as well. So
exactly. And let's try not to beat a horse that's dead and buried at this point. But what I would say is just to further on, and kind of, lift up, individuals like Space Cat. You know, I just wanted to call out, it's not as if, you know, he just watched, Europa and came away and said, I'm now the biggest fan of Hitler. I mean, the guy's read, and personally owns copies of literature that's, you know, at this point about 100 years old. He's dug into it in the original language, et cetera. Like his knowledge around that stuff is as far as people like Zach Logos is concerned, is near unparalleled. And I know Zach knows a lot of people that know a lot of stuff about that. So just want to give him kudos. But yeah, with that, let's go to Kost. And again, let's just try to keep the temperature, you know, room temperature here. No reason for people to get heated. And let's try to use these as opportunities for kind of quicker Q&A rather than going down huge tangents.
Cool. Thank you. Yeah. I'm not going to address this individual. I've been around people like this for a very long time. It's just not worth the effort. You're not going to make any kind of intellectual gains with people like this, especially if they come from the whole King James only point of view. That's a little bit too lowbrow for me. So I will address the room. You know, he said, you know, they introduced this socialism, that socialism there, you know, national socialism in my estimation was a superior economic and social system than America's ever had. But here are some facts. The Roman Republic, which was a democracy, killed our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It wasn't National Socialism. The Romans also persecuted Christians, just like United States does. They practiced boy fucking in Rome, just like America does now. So, you know, people try to draw these parallels between the United States and the Weimar, but the Weimar drew its corruption from Rome. So, factually, democracy is more incompatible with Christians and Christianity than National Socialism is. And in America, especially considering that if we're going to talk about moral, you know, we're going to talk about what Germany may or may not have done that was moral or immoral. We're going to make those kinds of moral judgments on Germany. Let's consider just a few things, you know, about Hitler did this and Hitler did that, compared to what American president. If we're talking about the American president that was sitting at the time of World War II, who didn't actually live to see it out, would be FDR. Are we talking about that homosexual, that closet homosexual, the Mongoloid wife that had an entire Jewish administration? Is that the guy that we're going to compare Hitler to? What about if Germany did all these terrible things? Did Germany support the Soviet Union in the war, or was that the United States? And that karma has come back to fuck America, it completely out of existence because now it's completely consumed by Marxism. So if that's not the hand of God judging the United States for what it did in World War II, I don't know what is. So if you're going to be an Anglo-American and you want to pass judgment on what Hitler or the Germans did, you don't have a position. You have no moral position when it comes to the history of this country, especially when you're living in a country that now has made homosexuality the state religion. That never happened in National Socialist Germany. So was Hitler an imperfect man? Yes. All people are imperfect. So where was the criticism for American leadership or even Patton when it comes to essentially hurling moral insults at Hitler or his SS? Now, to everybody in the room, we just had an excellent space. Now I would say it was the NSCC's greatest space to date. The feedback on it was excellent. I posted it up in the Jumbotron, proving factually and irrefutably that every single word that came out of this bullshit artist's mouth is factually incorrect. And you can click on it, and I encourage everybody to listen to that whole space on Positive Christianity, whether or not this man was into Satanism, whether Himmler was part of the cult, and all this other stuff that your typical Schofield Christian, which this guy apparently is. I mean, he's already proven that he's a Schofield type of a Christian, slander National Socialism with. So please, if you can, after this space, and this was a great space. Thank you, Ian, and thank you, JQ Radio. I did not mean to come in here and cool the space or nuke the space or shift the space, but if you guys are, once you guys are done, please listen to that space so you could hear for yourself that every word that came out of this bullshit artist's mouth was factually incorrect. Thank you.
Wow, that was really educational. It's pretty interesting that National Socialism has never produced the country that America was. And additionally, if you're going to say that America is judged by God, how is Germany not judged by God when America destroyed the Germans?
God is shitting all over your country, Anglo.
Yeah, but it's not because of the Bible. It's because of we're allowing Jews to destroy it. You think that homosexuals are allowed in America?
No, that's happening because you destroyed your German brothers.
Yeah, I let you just say all your nonsense. Why can't you just
okay, KJ, you pusher, we got it. We understand where you're coming from. Okay, Anglo, we got it.
So now I'm bad because I'm white? I mean, that's, you know, or European descent? I mean, that's kind of a, that's pretty funny. No, I guess you do like Hitler because you devolve into Darwinism.
We know Anglo supremacists when we hear it. Thank you very much.
It's a low blow. It's a blow. Let's just keep pushing, Koss. I feel you, brother. Can we move on? I've had my hand up for a minute. I don't know if it's my turn, but I'd love to go. I'll shut up because I know
it's
not
funny
my turn.
To like Hitler and not like white people. That's funny.
I don't think you're grasping what he's saying, but
of course not, because he's a Southern hick. He pushes the KJV version of the Bible. Give me a fucking break.
What's an Anglo,
bro?
Then?
Lay off the Southern hicks, Koss. No, but I feel you, brother. All right, who's up next? Sorry, guys, I didn't mean to cut in.
Well, let's maybe bring down the shoulders here. Just give everybody a deep breath. Maybe go to Mankos, who's always very calm and composed, and maybe can take in directions a little bit less inflammatory.
Yeah, I have a couple brief questions. One will just be, so you're trying to kind of get America back on a track where we can have prosperity again. Culturally, what does that look like? How do you think we have to change society, and how do we use the church and religion to do that? So I wanted to ask you that first.
Well, I don't think that the church should be directly involved. I mean, there obviously it was bad in Europe when you had the church and the government intertwined one with another. But I do think you have to have people that are sincere, genuine Christians to adhere Christian principles where they're not going to be dishonest. I mean, when Moses was asked about leadership, he was trying to find people that hate covetousness and were men of justice. And so we need politicians that do not have legalized lobbying, and they can just basically rip off the American government. I mean, and our citizens through, you know, immoral practices. So obviously, if we're going to fix our economy, we have to have the government stop printing money, stop sending money to foreign countries, stop doing all kinds of just insane, just overspending and just buddy-buddy lobbying type efforts. Obviously, you know, taxes should exist to some degree. I agree with public roads and safety, but less government would obviously be a major need for our economy and for our country if we want to have some level of prosperity. But the Bible says that God's the one that gives us the power to get wealth.
Yeah, for example, like with your religious, your church and all that, do you allow like LGBT people?
No, they're not welcome. They're not allowed to come to our church ever. They protest outside.
Okay. And then when it comes to like Christians in America, do you believe that they should, because you were saying something about this earlier a little bit, but I think you got cut off. Do you think that Christians should support the state of Israel and for the Jews to have a homeland and all that?
I mean, obviously at this point, we're kind of stuck in a situation where we have a lot of people over in the Middle East. So, you know, I don't think that we need to just like pick up a whole group of people and move them somewhere else again or something like that. I think that America just needs to detach itself from Israel completely and just say, you're on your own, have fun. I mean, I do think that that's probably still a dangerous thing, because I think without America backing Israel from a military perspective, that you could see just a mass genocide on the other side of the equation. And Islam is not a good thing either. So I do think if America was just basically saying, hey, we're not going to support any military action, we're going to trade with all, and we're not going to entangle ourselves in wars, we're not going to give you money, You know, I think that makes sense. Trump bringing in tariffs makes sense only if he gives us the tax benefit break. If there's no tax breaks as a result of tariffs, it's going to increase inflation and it's going to basically hurt our economy further. But the tariffs is a fine system if you reciprocate that with a very low tax or just getting rid of taxes for American citizens. So, you know, I think that kind of answers your question about economic issues.
Yeah. And the last thing, and then we can move to the next person, is so if Israel did, like, we cut all ties to Israel and it turns out that Israel ends up losing a war or something, and now all the Jews in Israel want to leave and, for example, come to the United States, would you be supportive of that or would you say no?
My view in immigration, it doesn't depend on circumstance. I think that immigration should be limited greatly, and that it's basically for people that have ideological continuity. So if people don't want to adhere to the Constitution and our laws, and, you know, if we were a Christian nation, if they don't want to adhere to that, I don't even think they should be welcomed at all. But I'm not saying that everyone should be welcomed.
Right?
I think that there's going to be some cases for refugees. I think there's some case for asylum. I think there's some case for importing people from other nations to some degree. I mean, America was built on immigration in some ways, but that immigration was limited to ideological continuity again. They weren't allowing Islam to be imported. They weren't allowing Hinduism to be imported. They weren't allowing, you know, Catholicism by and large to be imported and things like that. And so you have to understand America was great because of ideological continuity. Immigration's not a huge problem if people have a place to go, or have a job. If you don't have a place to go and you don't have a job, it's a train wreck and it just makes no sense whatsoever. So, you know, I think that that's okay if you're bringing some people in based on those circumstances. But no, I don't think you should have an open border policy. I would not want to bring in Judaism at all. That would be the last religion I would want to bring into America. So, you know, I definitely would empathize for someone that's caught in a bad situation, but no, I'm not going to just, it would be like if I saw a bunch of gangsters outside my house and they got their car stolen. I'm not going to say like, hey, why don't you come inside my house and hang out with my daughter because you got your car stolen. It's like, nope, you're still not welcome into my house. Like, I don't want anything to do with you, you know, even though maybe you got your car stolen or whatever. So there's definitely, America should not be just this open door. Let's just bring every victim in. We need to think about who it is that we're bringing in and protect ourselves from dangerous criminals.
Thank you.
Yeah, and as always, Mankos, really, really well asked questions. Let's, in the interest of time, because I know we're kind of running out.
I think I can do like one more if it's kind of short.
Yeah, let's go to the Goy Father and see if he's got one. And if not locked and loaded, then we can go to Liberty.
Yeah, I've got something. Took a lot of notes. The brother said he wants a small tax for funding for roads, etc. Smaller government, no lobbying, Christian moral foundation, no fags, and no importing subversive ideologies. Now, out of everything I've just listed, what you've just stated, speaking to the last speaker, which one of these goes against what National Socialism taught?
I'm not gonna say that I'm an expert on every single aspect of National Socialism, but at the end of the day, I believe in capitalism in general, just that principle. And so, you know, I'm not a collectivist. I have got a degree in economics. I have studied an MBA for economics. I definitely know what the Bible says well on this topic, and the Bible's capitalistic. So, you know, National Socialism, I think that there's just flaws in just collective ideas as a principle. If we could talk about a specific topic, I could maybe, you know, as far as just one particular education or whatever. I think that education and National Socialism is dangerous because when you have all of education kind of collectivized, then you can do what Hitler said in Mein Kampf and basically say like, hey, the whole goal of this is to propagandize the youth and use them as a military machine. Like, you have to just admit he said that. And I think that parents should have a little bit more say over their children's education. And so, you know, capitalism gives you more choices, more freedom. Socialism is more easily corrupted, more easily taken over by nefarious forces. So you know, okay, by and large, that's why most reject.
Stop there a second. Can you stop there a second? So you're claiming, right, that capitalism is less corruptible than National Socialism.
They're all corrupt.
National Socialism is authoritarian, and your idea of finance capitalism, anyone can do what the fuck they want if they have enough money. What are you talking about?
Well, obviously, if you understand even how America's set up, no one can just do whatever they want. There's laws, number one. Number two, the Fed actually regulates monopolies. They don't do it anymore, but it used to be that you couldn't hold monopolies. You couldn't just own any kind of business, any kind of interest.
Who was company, the head of the Fed for the last broken up. Years.
So even biblically speaking, you would not have this because you have a year of Jubilee, which kind of has a reset button. So you can't, capitalism left to itself will end up with one person with all the money and all the land. So capitalism by itself isn't necessarily the right answer, but you still need some limits and some regulation. That's why the Bible had the year of Jubilee. That's why you have control by the Fed and you have some government restraint from some fair practice, you know, things. Cause you're right. Obviously, if you play the game Monopoly, eventually someone gets everything, right? And so capitalism unrestrained is bad too. But if I have to pick an economic system, yeah, I agree with capitalism with limits and with regulation. But again, it's people. People are always going to do bad. People can always be corrupted, whether it be a monarch, whether it be National Socialism, whether it be communism, whether it be obviously capitalism. There's always going to be flaws. Nothing's absolutely perfect. It takes people that actually love truth and honesty and are going to adhere to those things for any governmental system to work.
So you've just promoted subjective truth, which breeds liberalism and homosexuality.
Subjective truth? What did I say subjective truth? The King James Bible is objective truth.
Yeah, you believe it's a word of God like a Jehovah's. But anyway, so Pastor, last thing, and then I'll move on. You said you can only have one more, so I didn't want to eat up all the time. I don't think you understand the difference between finance capitalism and just capitalism. National Socialism doesn't reject individualist capitalism as a whole. It doesn't reject it. It just makes it so it can't become the way America is today, with 0.2% of the population being 50% of the billionaires. There's a big difference between finance capitalism and regular capitalism, and you don't understand the difference whatsoever. Also, the Bible doesn't preach finance capitalism. It says to lend and not expect more in return. So it doesn't preach this idea that you want to preach. Now, yes, there's a Jubilee, etc. Sure, we can have votes. No one was against having votes, right? No one's saying one person has to rule until they die. No one believes that. All right, we don't believe that. So you don't understand National Socialism. I have to break it to you.
I think that you're mislabeling some things there, and just objectively say I don't know something is kind of silly. But again, there is obviously going to be blending between any of these economic labels. You can't just sit here and just say this is National Socialism. Tell me what country is exactly that. I mean, economic theory. If you actually go to college and you actually get a master's degree in economics, you'll realize that there's literally never an ideal situation economically. There's always going to be ebbs and flows and variances in systems. So you trying to just say like, oh, well, there's some forms of capitalism in a nationalistic society. I mean, of course, there's going to be overlap because these are just labels used to generally talk about systems that exist, like education or the privatization of healthcare, or when we talk about economics. I brought up education specifically. You said I don't understand finance capitalism versus capitalism. It's like we're talking about education versus monetary policy. I'm not going to say I'm an expert on anything, but to just say that I don't know what I'm talking about and mislabel things is silly. You're misquoting that particular Bible verse about lend. You know, the Bible does talk about taking collateral. The Bible does talk about lending to foreign nations, even on usury. So, you know, you can't just take a personal instruction and then implement that for a governmental policy, because the Bible has rules for individuals, for the country, and for the nation as a whole. And I don't think that you probably understand necessarily the difference there if you're going to say those individualistic commands are what was brought to the country as a whole. But again,
does the Bible teach lending with usury to a brother?
The Bible does say that you can lend on usury to a stranger. So
to a brother.
Yeah, I agree. I personally should not make any loans.
So the answer's no, right? To a brother, right? And,
yes.
And that idea of brothership would be spiritual and ethnic.
National.
Spiritual removes the ethnic. Therefore, if you are trading with foreign nations, yes, having bartering systems is perfectly fine. But within your nation, if it's a Christian nation and a homogenous nation, guess what? There is no idea of usury, smart guy, if they are your brothers.
I'm 100% against usury. So I don't even know, you know, maybe you're just mislabeling something I said, but I think that usury should be illegal. We should ban all interest within our own nation. That does not, capitalism does not determine whether or not you have the practice of usury or not. So again, I would love to talk about this more. I'm sure I could learn things from, you know, you on National Socialism, but I strongly disagree with it.
Do you have to leave? Are you about to go?
Yeah, I wish we were going to start the space at like 2, and so I would have had a little bit more time, but I do have to go,
and I
appreciate the audience pushing back.
Well, dude, I appreciate you coming.
That's on me, not on band, by the way.
My bad. I did not mean to cut you. Well, I was going to ask you real quick, what do you hold at a higher value, like preservation of, you know, money or religion or race or what? How do you see that?
Yeah, religion for sure.
You band. Pastor.
Yeah, religion, the King James Bible is the thing for that's sure. important. Money comes and goes, but the truth is the thing that matters. I think the King James Bible is objective truth. I think that's why America was great. I think if we want to have a prosperous nation and a prosperous state and a prosperous family, it's going to be built on the Bible again. And so, you know, I think that any idea we have as man, whether it be capitalism, National Socialism, any of these ideas, we can always be testing them on the Bible. And if there's something wrong with our ideas from what the Bible says, then we need to change and implement a new structure. I think that America, right. generally speaking, is very close to what the Bible would describe a nation as being set up as. It's just we have corrupt politicians, bad people. We've been taken over by Judaism. And so we have a lot of evil in our country. If we could get back to those Christian principles, I think we would have success. That's why I disagree with National Socialism and Hitler's. Things because of Christian principles.
I've been listening to you, and I do. I think, especially when I first came into space, you said some great things. And myself, I personally, because dude, I'm new to the JQJP, but I've looked into it a lot myself. The you know, National Socialist versus absolute Christianity first or a religious based first nation. And I just want to just from my personal opinion, some stuff that I've learned, and I'm trying to be quick because I know you have to run. But preserving race provides a tangible lived context for religious expression as racial identities often shape how communities interpret and practice faith, such as the distinct traditions of, for example, Ethiopian Jews or Ashkenazi Jewish rituals. My point being, based on historical evidence, preserving race strengthens religious solidarity by aligning spiritual beliefs with shared radical histories, fostering a deeper sense of purpose and belonging that reinforces faith. My point is that by prioritizing the preservation of race over money or capitalism, as Hitler did with National Socialism, a government system emerges that lays the finest foundation for a strong religious nation, rooting spirituality and racial unity rather than material division. And I'll end with this because I know you got to go. All I'm saying is that with what he was doing was great for his people, and that naturally it built a stronger society, laying the foundation for a robust community rooted in Christian faith. And today, I don't believe that hits harder maybe even today than it did then, because, I mean, look at what our countries have become, the West in general, Europe, America. I mean, we're being cooked, dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, you know, you can go to Europe and some of these people are mad the Muslims are there. But, you know, who's doing this? Who are the ones doing it? If your neighbor throws rattlesnakes across your fence and they bite your child, are you mad at the rattlesnake for doing what it naturally did? Are you mad at the person who threw him over? So I'm just saying, I'm just trying to provide different angles because I was raised a Southern Baptist, so I understand a lot of your perspectives. Like I said, I'm relatively new to this stuff. And I think there is I definitely don't see eye to eye on everything you're saying, but I hope you you look into it more and try to learn a little bit more. And I hope there's some things, you know, I've learned some stuff from you tonight. So I just want to say I appreciate you coming. I'm not trying to dog you out, brother. Really do appreciate you. Appreciate all you guys. Ian, what's up, Truth, just came in. Band Pastor, Colin, Sean, Space Cat, everybody, Cost, Goyfather, Doc. What's up? That's all I have to say. Thanks for listening. Thanks for letting me up, guys.
Thanks again. I have to go, so I appreciate it so much, Ian, and I thank the guys that had questions and stuff. And I know I got a little spicy, too, with some of the comments, but I'm not saying I know everything. I'm still wanting to learn as well, but I do know a lot of things about
one thing
the Bible, and so I want to share those.
You mentioned your MBA in economics. I've got an MBA as well. I had to unlearn all the stuff I learned in my MBA program because it was all based on lies.
Well, that's, I didn't finish it. I'll be honest. I didn't finish it because it was lies and I hated learning it. So that's why I gave up on it, because it's garbage. But I appreciate the conversation,
guys. Why did you use it for an arguing position then?
I'm just saying I have concepts. I understand the concepts. That doesn't mean I agree with them. So I appreciate you guys. Y'all have a good night. All right.
Ben, I don't have a question.